Here we go again.
It's time to talk.
I thought it was April Fool's Day when I heard that one. Get me off the air before I have a heart attack. We will have nothing to see for it. There's been many false dawns.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
The kindness of Cork people will never let you down.
Conversation that matters.
Be part of the conversation. The Neil Prendeville Show with Mercedes-Benz Cork. Be carded. Be part of the texting as well for Free Food Friday. Let us know who you are and where you are to 0868104106. Again, this week, Camille Thai will provide beautiful Thai food for up to 15 of you in the workplace. I'll tell you more about it a little later on, but get texting on that one at least. Text 0868104106, who you are and where you are. Now, a story that doesn't make the newspapers, not that I found it anywhere anyway, but it certainly makes the online editions. And this is from Newtown, Mount Kennedy in County Wicklow. And the Examiner this morning are reporting online that there have now been six people arrested. This was an attack, as they say, on Gardaí last night. Six people arrested after Gardaí say they came under attack while at the scene of a fire at a disused property. The property is known as Trudder House, and protests had been ongoing at the site there for a number of weeks. It had been confirmed that the grounds were being assessed by workers for housing for up to 160 people. Now, the number of people gathering at the location yesterday afternoon grew, apparently, and then, according to the Examiner Online, the situation intensified last evening. Gardaí said that officers came under attack as a result of there were workers contracted, apparently, to carry out what they call lawful employment on the site. They were entering the site, and that's when things got, that's when things kind of ratcheted upwards, got a bit more intense. So at that stage, according to the Examiner, the Gardaí were subjected to verbal abuse, physical abuse, rocks were thrown, missiles were thrown, fires were lit, an axe was recovered during the incident. The Public Order Unit were there with helmets and shields to give assistance. Incapacitating spray was used at some stage. Over 50 Gardaí were at the scene. So three patrol cars were damaged, including broken windows and slashed tyres. So it's pretty heavy-duty stuff now, I have to say. Six people arrested after it. I think the thoughts are that 160 people from, applying for international protection are planned to be housed and living there. And many of the locals do not want this. Now, Helen McEntee this morning is saying, yes, the locals do have a legitimate right to protest or voice their concerns, but she believes that an awful lot of the time that protests like these are infiltrated by others, not necessarily from the region. So that's the big story making the news nationally this morning. One that we have maybe all been following now for a number of weeks, and it's the inquest into the death of a beautiful young Limerick teenager, Aoife Johnson. Her death now has been ruled as medical misadventure. And this is the teenager who died from meningitis in hospital, where the inquest heard that she had no chance. She had no chance in what one of the medics actually described, one of the doctors described, as a death trap. Where are they calling a death trap? University Hospital Limerick ruled misadventure. Now, for instance, the Mail this morning has quotes from the heartbroken family of Aoife, saying that their 16-year-old daughter suffered a horrible death. And her sister Megan said that her one regret that she'll carry for life is that she never got to say goodbye to her little sister. The family said Aoife, and this is a story from the front of the Independent, Aoife was our baby, a cool kid. It breaks our hearts. It was a horrible death. And it's awfully, awfully sad. 40-odd years now I've been listening to problems within our health service, and sometimes I get really very angry and very frustrated about it all. And you know what? It's not limited to hospitals or A&Es. Many people are finding it as well with regards to, look at the difficulty trying to get on a GP list now. If you're trying to find a doctor. I mean, it's a story that's picked up on the front of the Echo today, and rightly so, where they're saying frontline staff in GP practices are being subjected now to abuse for not being able to take on new patients. Dr. Audrey Russell is down in Macroom, a GP in Macroom, and she says to the Echo, there's no secret that there's a huge shortage of GPs on the ground. That means we are working longer hours, and it's very hard to even take a holiday. And she's right, really, when she says sometimes you just can't take on new patients because the quality of care then that you provide to everybody suffers. And I suppose my words, not hers, diminishes because you have too many patients. So what we need are more GPs. And I often wonder, is the role of the pharmacist, do you know what I mean? And the role of the pharmacy and the chemist and the professional medical staff in there, are we utilizing them as best we can? Is there more that they could be doing? Are they anxious to do more, to take it away from A&Es or hospitals, take it away from GPs and get pharmacies to make more calls when it comes to what people need? And is there a way we could maybe look also at maybe not necessarily always needing a prescription, but dealing with the pharmacist as your first port of call? I'm just thinking. Anyway, your thoughts on that are welcome. Text 0868104106. Because we got to start thinking differently. It's just so frustrating. Year in, year out, the same stories, like just a different date. The Examiner this morning go into quite a lot of details with regards to the update into the investigation into the death of the late Sheila Dunn. Owen English is carrying the story. It broke yesterday morning, and he's saying the Gardaí investigating the death of a woman following the road crash near Cork City 2 months ago are to prepare a file for the DPP after releasing without charge a woman who was arrested on suspicion of perverting the course of justice. Now, the woman who's in her 40s was arrested at her home by members of the Garda team investigating the circumstances surrounding the death of the mother of two, Sheila Dunn. She died from injuries she sustained in a car crash near Glanmire last February. It's a lengthy article making the front page of the Examiner this morning. Owen English says Sheila Dunn was rushed to CUH where she died two days later. But an autopsy revealed there were certain injuries on her body which were not consistent with her sitting in the driver's seat at the time of the crash. And the guards have been trying to establish if she was moved into the driver's seat after the crash. Now, there were forensic examinations of the vehicle found evidence of Miss Dunn's DNA on the passenger airbag, according to the Irish Times. Now, the guards have spent many, many weeks now analysing and examining CCTV. They've been trying to trace the vehicle's movements in the hours before the crash. They've also trawled through phone records to see if any of the occupants of the car used phones around the time of the crash or in the immediate aftermath. So there's a lot going on in this case, and we'll watch with interest as to what happens next. But it's a story making the front of this morning's Examiner. You can literally now pick up your phone and text, and before you know it, you've got somebody cycling a bike. Not one of the food delivery drivers, but not unlike them, and they'll bring drugs right to your door. I'll have more on that topic on next week's programs. But there is an interesting court report from the Echo this morning, where it's a Mala woman. She was arrested. She was concealing over 8,000 euro worth of cocaine in a baby's nappy while working as a drug mule. She's been jailed for 18 months. The sentencing judge said that she was a vital cog in the industry that wreaks havoc on society. It's a hefty enough sentence of 18 months, isn't it? So it's interesting how people move drugs around, and we get an opportunity to see it. Liam Heelan is the court copy in the Echo this morning. In this case, where the Mala woman was concealing over 8 grand's worth of cocaine in a baby's nappy. And that's how she was drug muling. There's more arrests, of course, and there's more people before the courts and more convictions. And one of them involves a former scout leader by the name of Michael Noel Sheehan from Glenville in County Cork. 78 years old now and convicted of sexually assaulting 5 young Boy Scouts over 30 years ago. There were 5 different injured parties who testified during the trial about what Sheehan did to them when they were children. It's harrowing. Very, very upsetting reading, and it's the front and the inside pages of the Echo today. But I mean, I was talking yesterday with a chap whose motorbike was stolen, and he drives for the blood bank, Blood Services Ireland. They move blood and other critical medical products around the country when they're needed fast. Bikes are the fastest way to do it. His bike was stolen, his motorbike was stolen, his blood bike, if you like, was stolen from outside. And it's a particularly callous and cowardly and disgusting type of crime. But there are others like that, actually. You talk about life, loss of life, or danger to life. What about when somebody dies? Could you imagine that there are gangs trawling, say the likes of RIP.ie, looking at the newspapers, looking at the death columns, so they can go and burgle the house of the dead person because maybe the funeral is on or the removal is on, or maybe the person has been buried and the house is empty. So it's a treasure trove of thieving for them. So this family, according to the Star, caught a low-life gang trying to burgle their late relative's home a few days after the death and the burial. And Gardaí are warning that this is a trend now, a funeral trend type crime. It was lucky in this case because members of the family had been staying at the home of the elderly relative who had passed away. They were staying for a number of days when the burglars attempted to break in. So they're trawling funeral sites to steal from homes of the dead. I mean, how low can you go? It'd be hard to go lower than that. And of course, if you're flying anywhere anytime soon, I kind of had a smile on my face when I was reading this recently. Ryanair's boss, Michael O'Leary, slamming air traffic control, the strike in France that has forced the airline to cancel 300 flights. He says it's impacting on 50,000 passengers have to axe their trips because of air traffic control. I mean, it's, and I know this is a thing. I know it's an issue, and French traffic controllers are notorious for striking. But you'd almost believe that Ryanair never ever cancel any flights themselves. But they do. And they discommode passengers hugely when they do so. I mean, they really do. I'll have more of this later on because I've come across a couple of stories. Like, if you're going away for 3 or 4 days, or say 4 nights, and you're flying on a very popular flight from Cork to Malaga, and you're looking forward to it, and you've booked your time off work, right? And you've booked your hotels and possibly paid for them. And then Ryanair decide, sorry, we're cancelling that flight, but listen, you can rebook again free of charge. But it's not that simple. You know, you've got time off, you'll lose on a night in a hotel, you'll have to rebook the return leg if you try and change your plans, and of course Ryanair will charge you royally then for changing the return leg. I wonder, do many people have Ryanair, or indeed for that matter, Aer Lingus flights cancelled? Is it happening more and more? I mean, maybe just I see it more because more people get in touch with me, but I'd love to hear from you with regards to cancellation of flights, particularly on a very busy route. You have to wonder, why would a flight like, say, to Malaga be cancelled? Is it lack of staff? Is it lack of planes? Certainly ain't anything to do with lack of demand. Papers also talked this morning of issues involving the courts in America. We've got two different things going on in America. We've got Donald Trump, and now we hear that Harvey Weinstein has had one of his rape convictions overturned because he didn't get a fair trial. The judge went too far, and they appealed and won an appeal. Apparently, the judge allowed way too much to be heard in the trial, and it destroyed Weinstein's character. As if that would be hard to do. So that's an interesting one across the pond. And then to the small screen we go. Great news. There is going to be a fourth season of The Young Offenders, but RT are so strapped for cash now and going through so much cost-cutting measures that they're throwing out the baby with the bathwater. And they won't be showing The Young Offenders, well, certainly nowhere close as the BBC will, because they'll be showing it first on Monday, May the 10th. But it won't get onto Irish television, wait for it, until 2025. It's no big deal anymore now, because in the world that we live in, everybody has BBC. There's no real difference. You know, it's just a flick of a channel switch away. But talking about flicking channel switches, there is an interesting one making the papers this morning, telling us how much time we're wasting channel hopping. Just literally, as Bruce Springsteen would say, what was it, 785 channels and nothing on? But we easily have, I mean, if you look at your Sky package, right, and you count them up, there's got to be 100 channels or more. And more, imagine there's more. So we are now wasting 183 hours of our life literally channel hopping. And that's before you add in Netflix. I mean, television is bad enough on Sky flicking down through the menu. But Netflix, oh my God, you could be strolling back and forth and up and down and in and out on Netflix forever. Really and truly. I mean, I know we do it with Instagram, we do it with TikTok and Snapchat and stuff like that, but 183 hours a year scrolling and hopping around Netflix and Apple TV and RT and Virgin and the BBC and Prime and everything. I want those back, particularly if it's 183 hours multiplied by 20 or 30 years. And people are still writing to RTE, particularly pensioners, really annoyed that they have to continue to pay their annual charge. I thought once you hit pension age that the, forgive me, did I dream it, that the license was free for pensioners. I thought that anyway. But anyway, it says, we're both pensioners and it takes a few weeks to get the money together. After the behaviour of RTE for years, I would appreciate an answer to our question as to why we should pay the licence fee. Another elderly couple said, why should we keep paying the €160 when half of Ireland hasn't paid it this year? Are we suckers or mugs? Other people that have to pay money, incidentally, and it, Venice now has become a bit like the Canaries, the Canary Islands, because the people who live in the Canaries, are they Canaries themselves, Canarians? They're complaining about the amount of tourists that are there. So Venice is the same problem. Venice is tiny-like, and there's about 20 million people visit every year. There's about 49,000 people who have to live in Venice, and now they are introducing a €5 day tripper charge in attempts to do what? Cut the number of tourists. Bait them back out of Venice. Do you really think that people won't pay a fiver to go to Venice? They would. And then overseas, this woman must be absolutely exhausted. They figure that she is one of the most sought after surrogates. These are my words, certainly in America. She's 37 years old. She has successfully carried and delivered 10 healthy babies. She is now pregnant again with baby number 11. And she says that she calls herself a gestational carrier, a surrogate, if you like, someone who is not gestationally linked to the child, but helping families who need to bring their babies into the world. It's a lovely story making The Independent this morning. Big smiley face in her with baby number 11 on the way. It's a new term for me, a gestational carrier. And you're talking about numbers or dates. This year, as we head into Eurovision, is the 50th anniversary of the ABBA winning Eurovision and then going on to sell nearly 400 million records. They must be absolutely loaded, particularly the two lads who wrote all the songs. But with the avatars now and the concerts, and you know, they must be, I mean, ABBA just couldn't spend the money that they have. But it's an interesting story, makes many of the Red Tops today, talking about the rocky road that they've had over the years since winning Eurovision. Here's an interesting one, and it's Claire's point of view, actually, not mine. We were chatting about it this morning. 1973 was the first year that Eurovision singers were allowed to sing in any language. Up to 1973, they had to sing in their own language. That's why we would have had Kjol and Gra and things like that in the early 70s. But after 73, they were allowed to sing in any tongue. I'm wondering, did that play a big role in the ABBA winning the Eurovision, singing Waterloo in English? I don't know. I mean, there were other really catchy tunes that won in their own native tongue, but Waterloo was the first winning entry in a language other than their own. But have you ever looked at the back catalogue of work from ABBA before Eurovision? They were very, 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 it was kind of hicky. It was kind of like Scandinavian folk, but kind of stuff that you'd shudder to listen to. They made a huge change in their style. And of course, the rest is history. There's a lovely double page spread making this morning's tabloids with regards to the life and times of the ABBA over the last 50 years. And then you're never too far from helping people to cure snoring. I got to get back to snoring. I dropped that a few months ago way too quickly. This morning they're dealing with, again in the newspapers, living with the irritability, and that's a kind word, of the snorer. And they're giving tips again as to how to get a good night's sleep. One of the ones I never heard before was having the central heating up too high or rooms too warm. You want to stop a snorer. Have the bedroom freezing, because apparently the heating system is drawing moisture from the air, and that also is drawing moisture from the nose, the nasal passage, the throat, and all. I mean, we got all the other ones in there, people sleeping on their side and stuff like that. And don't get me wrong, special pillows to prop you up, you know, earplugs. Earplugs doesn't solve snoring, but it tends to help the person next to the snorer. Banishment, I know we did it last time. Banishment to the spare room was the most popular one, right? Back after the break.
Call Neil now. 0818 104 106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Yes, indeed. Text 0868 104 106. So let me just give you a couple of examples. I mean, there's an interesting story. Lily Allen is making the news at the moment. I was reading it on joe.ie. The headline is, "I'm going first class. My daughter is going in economy." I think Lily Allen could well afford to have the daughter up in first class with her, but she hasn't decided to do that. Liliana has revealed that she's planning to put her daughter Ethel in economy class when flying from New York to London, but she will fly first class herself. I was trying to work out earlier, and then I forgot to do it, as to how old Ethel is. She was born in 2011, which make her, she'll be 13 now. So she will be in economy, and Lily Allen will be up in first class. I mean, the only time I've ever flown first class was when I got it for free. I would shudder have to pay for it, because I don't think it's value. You know, it's not value, like 3 or 4 grand to fly across the Atlantic in a bigger seat. But I was talking, you know, about flight cancellations and what have you. And here's a typical example that I came across yesterday. Ryanair decided to, firstly, change the flight time of a flight to Malaga out of Cork Airport. So first was a flight time change. And then not too far afterwards, like maybe the next day, they just decided to cancel the Malaga flight out of Cork. A very popular route now. I have no idea as to why. So then firstly, a time change and then a complete cancellation. And the idea then is that, oh, you can rebook, your flight at another time, you know, no charge. But what if it doesn't work out, right? And what if there isn't a flight, or what if you're on a short break and you've already paid for the hotel room? What if you've booked time off? So this case anyway involved having, instead of going out of Cork, having to go out of Dublin instead on a completely different day. So then, just because Ryanair cancelled the flight, it means you've lost one hotel night that you've paid for, right? You have to change the entire trip then, unless that you want a shorter trip. So, and then in this case, the couple that were going booked Aer Lingus out of Dublin at approximately €250 more, right? And then, of course, that involved a Dublin hotel as well, because the flight went out early in the morning, at a cost of €180. And then there was the cost of the bus up to Dublin. So short trips are really impacted in this regard. So cancelling a flight out of Cork resulted in this couple having to ultimately pay an extra €500. And you can't actually claim any of that back, so you can't. But here's the right way to do it. Recently, and I only found out about this yesterday, there was a flight from Dublin to New York, where passengers on board the Delta flight spent somewhere between 6 hours and 8 hours sitting on the airplane before it took out. Could you imagine that? Sitting 8 hours on an airplane at Dublin Airport before the flight ultimately took off. So I was sent a photocopy then of a response from Delta when people went looking for compensation. And in this case, I believe it was 5 individuals from the same family. And Delta have refunded the entire cost of the flight. Now, the flight took off and they landed in New York, right? They then had to get a taxi from the airport because they were absolutely baked with exhaustion. So they spent the equivalent of €120 on a cab cost from the airport into Manhattan. So Delta are refunding all of the flights, and they're also refunding the cost of the taxi. So for these 5 individuals, Delta are going to give them back over €3,119. That's kind of the way to do it, isn't it? Just give people their money back. I don't know whether they're obliged to lawfully. I mean, the plane took off, but that's the right way to do it. So keep your stories coming in that regard with regards to flight nightmares. Text 0868104106, cancellations and things like that, particularly as we head into the summer. Here's a man, actually, who's not going to be at all bothered about flying anywhere, because he is literally, this morning, getting up on his rotor, his bicycle, his hybrid. I think it's a cross between a racer and a mountain bike. And he's leaving Ahabulag. And he, ladies and gentlemen, is cycling to China. He's Bobby Murray. Let me find out if I heard that wrong. Bobby, good morning.
Good morning, Neil. How are you?
I'm good. My arse won't be half as sore. Yours will be in a few weeks' time. Ahabulag to China. Really?
No, I was born in Ahabulag. I'll be leaving Blarney. I'm living in Blarney. But you're half right and half wrong. No bother.
So a little shorter to travel then. Blarney to China.
Yeah, give or take, just short of 28,000 kilometres. Yeah.
Why, man? Why?
Well, it's tied in with Peter House, in conjunction with him, and just a bit of wanderlust, and I've always wanted to do a long trek, and if my little legs will hold me up, why not?
So are you saying your goodbyes this morning then to family and friends?
I've pretty much done that this week and stuff, but just my girlfriend this morning, and I'll drop her home there shortly, and that's it, really, and hit the road.
How much planning have you put into it, Bobby?
Give or take, I've been at it for 4 or 5 years, kind of squirreling away money and stuff, and I had done, the last trek I'd done was, well, it wasn't a big one, in 2018, and I just had an inkling I wanted to do one longish sort of one, and this is it.
Let me just pick up on that. What was the kind of shortish one you did in 2018?
I linked up with a gang there on the Bishopstown Hillwalkers, and I met them in Iran. So I went to doing a bit of hiking on a week for them, and I took off my bike. That was only 5 weeks, so I was 6 weeks in Iran.
Oh my God! Yeah. Is Iran safe? Is it a good place to go?
An excellent race of people, very hospitable. That was 6 years ago. Obviously things changed, but the people themselves, salt of the earth.
Okay, all right. So that was a bit of a warmer. Have you been training for this cycle to China?
I haven't really cycled the bike much in the last 2 to 3 years, but bear with me. I will build up my mileage slowly, and it'll be fine. I mean, if I put you on a bike this morning and you took off down the road and you had the guts of 5 or 6 hours, you would probably do, surprisingly, you do 40 or 50 kilometres.
Okay, but hold on a second.
Within range.
My shoulders would be shot. My neck would be in pain. My knees would be in pain. My wrists would be in pain. My arse would be in pain.
But slow. You build up, and the pain would go away after a few weeks, and you'd be getting stronger. And next thing you know, your lung capacity would be better, et cetera, et cetera. And you know, you might get to like it. Obviously, you don't want a bucketing down rain on top of you or anything, but you know.
Okay. Okay. So just looking at the whole logistics of this, I'd love to stay in touch with you, incidentally, throughout the trip to northern China. But have you pannier bags for your clothes and your needables?
Yes, I have two panniers at the back. The German stuff, of course, the Ortlieb, which is pretty much bulletproof. Carrying my sleep system, my tent, and I would have a handlebar bag. Now, the others carry front panniers and all this. I don't need it because I wouldn't have a great amount of electronics. I might invest in a GoPro when I hit the continent and possibly record some of it. Now, the girl Katrina, who's she'll take care of all the sorts of stuff. So what I'll do is I'll post stuff back to her and she'll put it up. She's told me make up a Twitter page and a Facebook page.
And that's from Pieta, is and, it? They're going to do that. We can keep an eye on you on social then.
Yeah, so they got me to put it up on Twitter. So I'll send the stuff back to her and she'll put it up then on Twitter. Okay. And as she said, people will follow. I'm not savvy to social media. All and right, then, you know...
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
You know, they'll see where are you at, and she'll breadcrumb the route and this kind of stuff, if you understand what I'm saying.
Okay. No, I've tracked people doing these kind of things before, but usually in vans, SUVs, motorbikes, or motorcars. Never hooked up with someone on a bicycle that's starting out from Blarney and cycling in northern China, I can tell you. So the first leg would be to get across a couple of stretches of water, right?
Correct. Just the one. I leave today and does a sailing does a sailing in Rosslea on Monday evening, 6 o'clock. So I give myself 3.5-4 days, which is, it's about 201 kilometres from where I'm standing here at the moment. So that's on average just over 50 a day.
And are you telling me that you're going to tent it? Are you going to do B&Bs or what?
No. I'll do a lot of what's known as wild camping, which, strictly speaking, in some countries is illegal. But I mean, once you're not, you know, creating a riot or anything like that, it's fine. Once I have access
you
to
you don't have a history of creating riots or anything like that, no?
No. Okay. No, I.
Well, well behaved granddad.
I wasn't always an angel, put it that way, but I'm a granddaddy now, so it's time to cop on you.
Okay, so from Rosslare then to Cherbourg, and then all the way across Europe. Talk us through the route.
Cherbourg then, the reason I'm going Cherbourg and not Roscoff is because I just want to see Mont Saint-Michel. It's about maybe 80-100 clicks away from Cherbourg, then down into Brittany, down for Quimper, La Rochelle, Bordeaux, down to the Pyrenees, maybe rest up for a day before I hit the Pyrenees, cross them, dip my toes in the Atlantic first, dip my toes in the mid on the other side, down to Barcelona for a couple of days just to see a few sights, obviously take some photographs in, landmark things, Pyrenees, etc., on into southern France, northern Italy, down the other side of the Adriatic, Bosnia, Croatia, Albania, Greece, Istanbul, cross Turkey, and depending on the situation in the Middle East, then either I'll get a ferry from Turkey down to Egypt, come back into Jordan, or if things are after cooling down, I'll go parallel by land, by Israel, then down into the Gulf. Probably won't go into Yemen or cross to Oman, come up the Gulf states, up into Iraq. We'll stay a few days in Mesopotamia, which is into Iran, and then over for the stands, onto Mongolia and down into Northern China.
Quite easy, isn't it? Walk in the park when you put it like that, to be honest with you.
Look, I'm giving myself 18 to 24 months. So, you know,
Two years away. Oh, my God.
I'll be back in May. My second son will be married in May. I'll come back for a week or so. And I'll leave my things outside and go back out and pick it up again then.
Isn't that the most
important thing, of course, is the PETA people and trying to, you know, raise awareness and publicity. That's why I'm speaking to yourself, obviously,
and we're going to drive it on for you as best we can, because you're raising money for an organization that's close to your heart, because of course your late departed wife Margaret, wasn't it?
She's still
upsetting all these years later. That's not something that you're happy or wish to dwell on at this point in time, is it? No.
It's always going to be there, but it's 32 or 3 years ago. Time has helped me, but I've done a lot of stupid things in between. But if people were to be in the same situation, my advice would be to speak to your doctor first and then speak to the PETA people, the proper people, and get the help ASAP, so to speak. And, you know, don't be so tortured, so to speak, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah. In the sense that you were tortured and you didn't come to terms with your wife, her suicide. I hate even mentioning it to you now. And such an adventurous day.
Yeah,
for
look.
You. But you'd have gone for counseling and you'd have gone for help. You were lost.
Pretty much, yeah, exactly. And then, you know, you do stupid things, then, you know, like drink, substance abuse, et cetera, you know. Uh-huh. And then it does a lot of, you know, you affect a lot of people that way. But
You were.
But then again, having said that, the flip side of that, I have a great friend of mine, and he had a situation or whatever you want to call it, and he dealt with these people, and fortunately he's here.
So the work and the counselling and the interaction that Pieta House do to help people who are struggling, or the families of those who are struggling after the loss of a loved one, can never be underestimated. It really can't. And every penny that you will raise will go towards funding the work that Pieta House does.
Oh yeah, like my job is easy then, you see. So it's like you're dealing with obviously humanity and a person's life. So as I say, the only thing I have to do is provide my legs hold up. It'll just be 2 years and job done.
Yeah, yeah. At a significant cost to your good self, though, have you estimated the cost of a trip like that? I wonder, Bobby.
I have best case scenario, €5,000, give or take. I mean, my main. Expense will be food, worst case scenario 10,000. So, but as I said, I've been squirreling away money for 5 years or so. When you look at it that way, it's only about 2,000 a year, and if you divide that by 52 weeks, it's practically nothing.
It's
about 40 euros a week, you know?
Actually, when you look at it like that, it's a much cheaper cost of living than staying in Ireland, isn't it?
No, I won't be wild camping all the way. I have a couple of apps as well. Then couch surfing is one, and Warm Shores is another. So what, these people are hosts or whatever. So if I come rocking into some city and I might be a bit tired and I need to have a rest or a shower or whatever the case may be, you know, I will be showering in rivers and streams where necessary. And these people can host you then, and you may be allowed to use the facilities of the house, pitch your tent in the garden, et cetera. So it's, there are ways and means to.
There are, but I mean, at the same time, it's a wonderful adventure and for an incredible cause. But there will be tough elements to it. I mean, you know, you're going to be dealing with all sorts of different climates, never mind all of the different road surfaces. It's going to be very hot at times, very cold at times. Do you know what I mean? Very wet at times. Like, there's a lot going on here.
Within reason, a lot of my gear is quite good. I mean, I'm anticipating, hopefully, there'll be a lot of sunshine. I don't like the rain or the cold anymore, obviously, because I'm getting on. I can't control the weather, so...
You have to be as positive as you are to undertake something like this, and you are very positive about it. But there's a million questions. It won't keep you much longer, but even if you're tenting, right, or wild camping, will you be cooking for yourself, or where will you source food?
Food will be sourced... Any supermarket or any shop that I'm near on the continent or here. Will I be cooking? Yeah, I have a little... It's a make of a stove, and there's two little pots in it. Believe it or not, there's a frying pan in it. And once I get my gas, that's it. I can cook my whatever in the evening, pasta, rice, whatever dish you want, make my coffee in the mornings. So I have cooking facilities. I have sleeping facilities. I have... I'm like a snail, really. I got my house on my back. clothes and... Yeah, fingers crossed, Providence will take care of me.
Absolutely. It's all about the attitude you go into something like this. And you're not carting the money, though. Will you use, like, Revolut, or have you tap and go, or will you have to keep... I'm just wondering, is there a security aspect to this?
Obviously, I carry some cash in some places. I have Revolut, and then obviously I bank with AIB or whatever. I'm not sure will that be accessible in the Middle East or some of the stands. But again, I imagine Revolut is, and I tap, yeah. I'm not savvy to the Revolut. I only set it up a week or so ago. But I'll get it. You know?
Yeah. No, in fairness to you, it's never too late to learn. Who's that?
That's my girlfriend. She's all excited.
She's excited now, but she'll miss you. You're more than welcome. You have very good taste in both Bobby and me. She'll be lonely when you're gone, Bob.
No, it'll be absolutely perfect.
Yes. She's all bravado, but she's a pussycat.
There'll be a tear shed. All right. How are you going to get back, pal?
Before the 8th of May, I'll fly in a few days beforehand. I'll arrange flights and stuff, and I'll come back. And when I get to northern China, then when I kind of know, have an idea of when I'll be hitting Xi'an, I'll do it on the phone. I'll arrange flights maybe 6-8 weeks beforehand, and I'll package up my bike. And that'll be it. I'll fly home. I'm not going to cycle home. I think, you know. enough is enough then, so to speak. And that's it then. And time to cop on then and just settle down and...
Write the book.
There won't be any book, but people have told me I'll use a voice recorder every day instead of writing things down, because the only reason I want to do that is for weight purposes, and just upload it into a file.
Brilliant. I've got to talk to you every few weeks, man. I have to really stay in touch with you.
Absolutely. I'm sure Seamus has taken the details of the two sites on Facebook. And the most important thing is the peace of people. And if people can, I know everyone is looking for money all the time and all this carry on, but you know, they save lives pretty much.
We'll do the very best we can to share all your details and keep it live for you. Have you got a puncture repair kit with you and everything, spare tube or two, or the tubeless tires?
No, they're not tubeless. I usually carry two spare tubes, and I think you're just after reminding me before I leave Rosslare, I must get a spare tyre as opposed to a tube. But I've more or less, now there you are right, of course, that there will be little things that I've probably have forgotten. I actually nearly walked out yesterday without my passport, which is essential. But I'll settle into it after the week, and then after that, it'll be like clockwork. And if the sun gods shine upon me, happy days.
All right. Okay. Get the tire, a couple of spare tubes, a can of WD-40. Get yourself a spray can of Deep Heat. Have you that?
I haven't. What I usually use is maybe rub some tea tree oil on me. But I go with Deep Heat as well.
You'll need it for the muscles, man. It's just rocket fuel for the muscles, that stuff. I'm just thinking, you know, just suggesting. There's a chap here actually, John. He's a regular listener to this program. He's in France. He's in Toulouse. Are you going anywhere near Toulouse? Because he says if you are going anywhere near Toulouse, he says there's a warm bed and a hot shower and a hot meal available for you.
I appreciate that, John. I will be skirting near Toulouse. I will go and I will head over for Provence, and I'll spend 4 or 5 days checking out the Van Gogh country and stuff, so to speak. But yeah, I will be through the south of France, and yeah, I'll link up with John.
We'll send him his number and you can hook up in a warm bed, hot shower, hot meal. He'll show you the sights. Be a nice little break for you.
Happy days.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, situations like that. I mean, I've done tools for, you know, 24, 48 hours. And again, it's not a race. And you know, it's a touring thing. So, yeah, I want to see sights and stuff. And again, if the sun gods are shining, yeah, you know.
What time are you throwing the leg over the bike?
I must drop my playful girlfriend home shortly and come back and load everything up. And if I'm on the road before lunch, I'll be happy. I won't kill myself today and head out for North Cork, etc. And again, it's a bit sailing is Monday evening, so you know.
What's your girlfriend's name?
Fingers crossed, no rain. Say again.
What's your girlfriend's name?
Dolores is we it's of course everything being awkward in my life or whatever or not conventional. We were apart for several years and we only met up again just under 4 weeks ago. And
that's lovely. So four weeks back together, yeah. And then you leg it for 2 years. Charming.
Yes, it's a little bit unmannerly, isn't it? Yeah.
Anyway,
in my defence, all this was planned before we.
Anybody that wants to donate can do so on iDonate. They're looking for People's Republic of Rother, Rother, Irish for bike. People's Republic of Rother on Donate, iDonate. Even if it's a euro or a fiver, whatever you can afford,
exactly.
It's going to an incredibly important cause and charity and counselling service called Pieta House. I donate, People's Republic of Rother. Pleasure talking to you this morning. Regards to you, Bobby, and to Dolores. Do stay in touch. It'd be great to chat with you as you go along over the next couple of years. I seem weird saying the next couple of years.
Yes, again, fingers crossed, as long as my little legs hold up. And but I'll do all I can to finish it for the peace of people.
Fair play. I'm in awe of your courage and your positivity.
No, you could do it as well. You could do it as well. It's you know, just
I could, but it would have to have an engine.
you get your little solar panel. I have one of those for power and we could crack on.
I'm talking about a 500cc BMW motorbike or something.
Anyway. Yes, that's probably what I will do in a few more years. Yes, when I'm unable to cycle.
No, I'm only joking. I'm up on the bike all the time, but it's not anything like from here to China. Go on. We'll stay in touch, Bobby. Well done, kid.
I appreciate the airtime. Thank you, Neil.
Cheers. I appreciate coming on. It's a great story. That's Bobby Murray, who's leaving Blarney at lunchtime today and cycling all the way to northern China. You can support him on iDonate. You're looking for People's Republic of Rother, and all of the proceeds going to Pieta House. In my conversation with Bobby, of course, we did touch on people whose lives were lost because they literally could not cope with the life that they were living or any other different reasons like that, and they sadly died and passed away. If you're maybe in any way struggling following the conversation with that with Bobby, then you can always contact Pieta House on 1-800-247-247 and 1-800-247-247 and the Samaritans 24/7 on 116-123 116-123. Back after the break.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Conversation that matters.
Just jumping in, Yorick says, I was given a list of things that Bobby will need. WD-40 for the bike, deep heat for himself, maybe a packet box of bandages wouldn't go astray, and maybe a couple of toilet rolls might be hard to get as he's going through from here to China. 3-ply toilet roll, I would suggest. But Yorick's answer is also adding to that list, saying Sudocream. He is most definitely going to need Sudocream. It's Free Food Friday, guys, courtesy of ourselves and Camille Thai. So this will feed 15 of you. You need to tell us who you are and where you are to 086 8104 106. We'll start the shout outs in about 20 minutes time. It's a huge range of vegan and vegetarian options. In spite of everything else, they've got vegan and vegetarian. We're doing a crispy chili chicken today. We're doing the chicken green curry. We're doing minced chicken stir fry with cashews and peppers and carrots and onions and scallions and broccoli. We're doing a vegan dish then, which is all of the above but tofu. And then there's loads of jasmine rice and loads of brown rice and wild rice, all courtesy of Camille Thai. So text who you are and where you are to 086 8104 106. Back after 10.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM. Conversation that matters.
On a free food Friday, courtesy of ourselves and Camille Thai. They make Thai delicious, and they've got a real beautiful range of dishes, high quality, fresh, healthy ingredients. So you can order Camille Thai online at the weekend if you want, the Camille Thai app, or indeed Camille.ie, and that's spelled C-A-M-I-L-E. So our first bunch of shout outs for all at O'Sullivan's Pharmacy and Grange. They'd love lunch taken care of. Morning Fidelma. Cork Plumbing and Toker Industrial Estate have 10 plumbers and the office staff. They'd make short work of that food. I'm sure you would. Hickey's Pharmacy on Baker's Road are all starving. Landbridge Logistics in Little Island are working hard and deserve it. It's been a busy week. Guys and Dolls are listening. Pro Valley and Mahon Point. Eric and all of the lads. Dairy Gold accounts payable. Please feed us. We need feeding. Ashley, Ailish and all of the gang. To Bespoke Wedding Ceremonies. To everybody, Ego Hair Studio and TikTok in Cove, we're all working hard. Would you please perhaps consider my place of work, St. Patrick's Boys School in Mallow, for Free Food Friday. It's good to give something back to the staff. Siva Logistics in Little Island, there's 10 of them. It would be a great way to start the weekend, says Jack. Everybody at Rockwell Engineering in Clahean are listening. And the gang at Retrofit, doing up houses for the elderly and the vulnerable. Kieran and my son Dylan are working hard, says Linda. So well done on the work you're doing. And finally for now, everybody at O'Connell Plum Store and Riva Tiles and Bathrooms in Turner's Cross are listening. And I know they are, because I was in there recently. We had a toilet go down. You know, the old ball cock snapped in half, so it needed to be replaced. So I thought it was something that I could do with a little bit of help from Dr. Google or YouTube it. So I went into O'Connell's Plum Store in Turner's Cross, and I bought myself a new ball cock and arm. And the lads were kind of laughing at me, saying, are you going to fit that yourself? Like, I said, yeah, sure. Well, just unscrew one, put the other on. And they said, no, it's a lot more technical and detailed. Like I didn't know, for instance, you need to turn the water off first. Because if you don't turn the water off and you take off the ball cock, water everywhere. So we had a good laugh about it. I took it away, a plastic one, and there was nothing wrong with that if I knew how I was fitting it. And I brought it home and took it out of the box, and it kind of disassembled into various different components. And I knew at that stage, this ain't going to happen. So to O'Connell's Plum Store, I tried, I gave up, and I got a plumber to come along and do it instead. You were right, I was wrong.
Call Neil now. 0818 104 106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Okay, back to phone calls in a second. I'll talk to Dennis in a minute, but I was just thinking during the ad break there about, you know, you buy something, it comes with instructions, and, you know, it's in the box already, you follow the instructions. But how many people now attempt things themselves by following a YouTube video or going online to Dr. Google or whatever the case may be? I mean, I know an awful lot of people would use YouTube videos for cooking. That's fairly straightforward, how to follow a recipe and watch somebody cooking it and follow them. But other people then would, have you tried, done anything really with regards to following it because somebody else did it on YouTube? I've seen ones where you can take out scratches from your car by following YouTube with all sorts of stuff, fitting kitchens, building a house. Seen people do that, fixing different things in the house, whatever the case may be, repairing a lawnmower. What are the crazier things you've done by following a YouTube video? Text 0868 104 106. See if we can get people on the air. I have tickets for Live at the Marquee to give away right across the summer, and some of the better calls from people who have done things by following YouTube videos Live at the Marquee tickets. Text 0868 104 106. Get going on that one. It might be a DIY job. It might have been a repair. It might have been a build. What have you done? Text 0868 104 106. Well, while Bobby heads off to northern China and literally starts from Blarney this morning on his rutter, and good luck to him, raising money for a Pieta house, and you can donate on iDonate. People's Republic of Rutter is what you're looking for. Got an interesting text in from Dennis, who joins me by phone. Somebody else has done something, not to China, but actually further than China, in the reverse order, if you like. Dennis, good morning.
Hello, Neil, how are you?
And it's not you, but you know of a fella called Paddy Burke from Berry.
Oh, I did, yeah. Years ago, yeah. But I might got the dates a bit mixed up there. I'd say it could be late 70s, probably very early 80s.
Right, okay. And what do you know that he did? Yeah, what did they do?
Pardon?
What did they do, himself and his brother?
Oh, they cycled from Australia to Lake Lawn and Douglas. The two of them, just a little trip, like. I'd hate now to be taking the other gentleman's thunder, like.
He just woke up on a Monday morning in Queensland and said, come on, we'll cycle home.
Yeah, but there was a book in it, but I'd say it was never written, you know. But I have no contact with them now. As I said to the lad on the phone, the house is sold and the family are scattered. Like, there might be one or two in Cork now, maybe, but I couldn't be 100% sure, you know.
Okay. How did you know of the journey? How did you know of the journey? Did you know
them? I knew them very well. I was always in and out of the house, you know, like years back, you know.
How long did it take them, I wonder?
I am the clue now, but just when I heard your men and they're going to China, just thought of it, you know.
Wouldn't it be amazing to see if we could find them, or if they're still around, or if they're in the Cork area?
Yeah. Oh, sure, I could track down them, all right. He's only over in Berings, right?
All right. So Paddy Burke and his brother cycled from Australia in the late 70s, early 80s, all the way to Lake Lawn in Douglas, where they were
living. That's right, yeah. My brother went back to Australia and he stayed there in his working life. Like, he was away up in northern Queensland. But I haven't seen them for half a century now, nearly.
But you know, it would have taken years, wouldn't it?
Well, it wouldn't, I'd say, you know. Ah. Like, they were a few young and fit that time. Like.
That's just Australia, man.
They probably have to swim across there to Indonesia with the bikes, like.
Did you know them growing up? Were they an adventure?
I did. Very well, very well, yeah. They were a great family, like, you know. But, as I said now, like, the way, you know, the way things happen, like, and everyone gets scattered and they do their own thing and you lose contact and all that, you know.
The house has
been sold as well, like. The house is gone now as well, so there was no one around Lake Lawn now at this stage, like.
Lake Lawn in Douglas. I know the area well.
Yeah.
But at the time they were in Berings. Okay, is he in Berings now, you think, maybe?
Oh, he's living there, one of them, yeah, one of the brothers is living in Berings.
Okay,
like, yeah.
So you'd never know who might be listening.
Pardon?
You never know who might be listening, they might be able to hook us up.
Oh, yeah, but I could track him down all about the lake, but not today, you know.
I'll give you the weekend to find him for me, Dennis, all right?
Oh, yeah, no problem, I can do that.
All right, pal,
He'd probably shoot me now.
If he's up for it, you'd never know. He might be up for the chat.
Oh, I know. Yeah, no problem. All right, but interesting, right?
Okay, talk to me.
I mentioned to the other lad there about Darla Murphy, you know. He said he never heard of her, you know.
Oh, well, he should have heard of her. She was one of our greatest explorers and adventurers.
Of course she was, yes. She wrote about a dozen books, like,
She only passed away a couple of years ago, and she went on bicycles and donkeys and all sorts of things, four corners of the world.
Everything, yeah. She was cycling, she was 12 or 14, you know.
Wasn't it 6 feet in the Andes
that's
herself
right,
and a donkey?
That's it. And Wheels Within Wheels is for... It's about her life, you know. It's very interesting. Down a little more, you know.
Yeah, we're very adventurous people on Lee's side. It's not all just about the great Pat Falvey, you know. It's Paddy Burke and his brother Bobby heading to China.
Nice and quietly, like, you know. It's not about it, really.
Well, listen, you have a good weekend for yourself, and if you find the Burks, let me know, will you?
I will, to be sure. Okay, and thanks, Dennis.
Take care. Okay. Talking about adventurous spirit, and Australia, actually. It's an interesting short story for you. It was down the marina in Carseveen last weekend, and there was a big yacht there called the Angea. Now, I hadn't been down there because my boat was out of the water since maybe October or something, but as soon as I had left, I'd say within a matter of days of me leaving the marina last year, around about the back end of September, early October, by all accounts, a big yacht called the Angea, A-N-G-A-E-A, came in to Carseveen and moored up and berthed up for the winter. And that was a chap from Australia who stayed all winter. And I met him last weekend and we had a good chat last Saturday morning. He has been sailing 7 years. 7 years. He's sailing around the world. He's been 7 years at sea, and he's come from Australia via Hobart all the way across, Asia, Indonesia, Indochina, India, Africa, up in through Europe, you name it. He sailed all that coastline and wintered in Carsevine. He had an amazing story. He's also on social. You can follow his trek across Europe. He's not finished yet. There's another few years in it yet. Sadly, I went back later that afternoon to chat with him, see if he'd come on air, and he wasn't on the yacht. I've been trying to find him on social media and contacting him on his Instagram page and stuff like that. And I was down there on Wednesday, and I was down in the marina, and he had left the marina to head up the west coast of Ireland. So if I managed to find him, I'd love to chat with him on air, because he's got an amazing and mighty story to tell. The Angea, 7 years ago, left Hobart and is literally sailing around the world single-handed. Let me go back to my phone lines. Amy, good morning. Can you hear me okay, Amy? Okay, the problem with that phone line, guy, we can come back to it in a few minutes' time, if you like. Let me just do some texts in the meantime, if you don't mind, because I was talking earlier on this morning of issues within our hospitals and our A&Es. Why are most of these medical mess-ups that we hear of, I think this person is referring to the late Aoife, who died down in the University Hospital in Limerick, a medical misadventure, they call that. Why are most of these medical mess-ups happening in regional hospitals? Why is it always the regional hospitals always top of the trolley watch? We have a government for Dublin only, I suppose. Medical misadventure, as a verdict, is a whitewash. The child did not get any medical attention. I'm glad you said 40-odd years you've been listening to problems with the healthcare system. It's something that needs to be emphasised when talking about immigration. It's been a disaster long before foreigners started arriving, I can tell you, says Alan. I agree with you there, pal. An inquest into the death of a young lady labelled an A&E in a major hospital as a death trap? And the Minister for Health still has a job? Can you please explain that, says Paddy. I'll try that phone line again. I appreciate Amy, because I do want to talk to her. Amy, can you hear me now?
Hi, Neil. Yeah, I can.
Lovely.
I can.
Sorry, don't know what happened
there. I'll turn you off the radio now. I had sepsis back in August, and I'm a bit nervous.
Are you picking up on the tragic case of Aoife?
I am. And so what's kind of annoying me is that it's all about like the healthcare system now and politicians jumping in all of a sudden. But really, if there's nothing else comes out of that girl's death, it's like if people could look over the signs of sepsis, because it's absolutely lethal, and you just don't know. Like, and I feel so bad for her, because the pain that girl must have went through, you know, with
well,
no dignity.
We know of the pain she went through, because the clinicians have told us, the family have told us. We know, and the quote was from her sister, "My sister died a horrible death."
Yeah. Well, I'll just tell you my story, Neil. I wasn't feeling well for a good few days, but I had other health issues, so I ignored it. And on the night that I eventually gave in to calling an ambulance, and I ended up saying to my son, just say it's urgent, you know. And I was, the paramedics couldn't believe like how I was still speaking, because my oxygen levels were so low. I was rushed into Resus. I remember about an hour and a half of being in there. I don't remember anymore after that, to be honest. I had a ventilator and I had tubes, and I was moved up to ICU, and
You were ventilated, dependency. You were in high dependency, and you went in August, and you were still in high dependency in October.
In October.
This we know.
Well, no, I'm not sure exactly, no, to be honest, because I don't remember, and I think my family were so traumatised, I can't exactly get proper dates, like, but...
Well, they were so... they would have been traumatised if a loved one, you...
Well,
were anointed at one stage. You were anointed.
I was anointed, yeah. I was anointed. But what I'm saying is, if nothing else comes out of Aoife's death, it's for people to watch over the signs, because it kills so many people, and it's blamed on other issues. It's blamed on, you know, oh, she had a bad flu, or she had this, or she had that. But you're so sick with sepsis that you don't know where the pain is. You're just so tired, you actually want to die. you're just so absolutely, like, it's a very confusing, horrible...
But is there... Okay, so there's utter and absolute exhaustion, but there's pain as well, though, yeah?
Well, you can't say exactly... There's no... Just, you can't get comfortable, let me just say. Like you're turning in the bed and you're twisting and turning. You're drinking lots of fluids, but you're not urinating. So my kidneys at 95%, like, kind of gone, you know. They told my husband, like, if she doesn't start urinating on her own, we're not going to resuscitate her again because it's not fair in her, like. And now I've seen signs up around CUH, like, with the 7 markers to look out for with sepsis. And since I've started looking into it, now, it's unbelievable, really, like, because, like, if you had a lump in your breast, you'd get worried.
Is it hard for them to diagnose it, do you think? I've been reading the signs.
Well, that's why the 7 markers are there now, you know.
That would be fever. Yeah, you could either have fever or a low temperature.
Will I read them here?
It can either be fever or it can be a low temperature. I don't know how many of these you had. Shivering, utter confusion, difficulty breathing, clammy and sweaty skin, extreme body pain, extreme discomfort, high heart rate, weak pulse or low blood pressure. So it can be either or, and then, as you said, a very low or no urine output.
Yeah.
My God. But they do say...
It's up inside you, so that can get poisoned then as well. And that poison, it's sitting in your system, obviously. You know? Like, I was confused about where it came from because I did have a cut on my foot and I had cellulitis from it. But I think that might have got into the build-up of fluid that I was drinking so much fluid. Litres of water, litres of juices and orange and anything I could get my hands on.
How did you pull through?
I care from CUH, the doctors and the nurses. And I went back up at Christmas time and I brought up presents to all of them. And one of the doctors from CUH came down. He went, "Mandy, you were sailing so close to the wind.
Wow.
Like, it's a miracle that you kind of..."
Were they able to tell you why you contracted this infection? I mean, even saying infection is almost an understatement of how serious it is.
Well, you see, it's kind of complicated because, like, I did have the cut on my foot and I did have cellulitis. So it could have gone in that way. But I also had a problem with my right lung and there was fluid building up inside that. So that could have got infected.
And how have you completely recovered?
I don't know. Not 100%. No, I haven't. Like, you know, you can wake up. Like, the longer you're in ICU with it, or high dependency, like your circulation gets cut off. So, people wake up with like their hands or their legs missing, like from it. But no, I've got terrible pains in my bones. Amputation.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I've terrible pains in my bones and the chills. I'm always cold. Like, for the last few days, I know I brought my little dog to the park and I could barely walk and I was freezing. There was guys in the park with no tops on them and I was like going, how are they walking around?
And before were you with a picture of health and very, very healthy?
I wouldn't have been the picture of health. No, I would have been, I had other issues. It's very easy for me to pick up any kind of infections but like you don't pick up sepsis, you know?
The body develops it.
Yeah, it's like poison, really, isn't it?
I know. And like with sepsis, it has to be identified really quickly, doesn't it? It has to be
very quickly, and the right antibiotics and fluids. And one of the paramedics that night, he was a young guy, and he was fantastic. Like, he was saying, "You're going to be okay," and he kept coming back checking on me when I was in resus. And he was going, "Mandy, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay," you know. And I was saying, "Am I though?" You know. And they said, "You will be." And I don't remember anything after that then. And then I started hallucinating. Like when they started taking down the sedation, which I don't mind now, but back at the time, like it was scary, you know, because I was hallucinating like stupid things.
Like what are the hallucinations?
Like I saw my friend's head hanging from the curtain rail. I'm laughing now because I frightened the life out of her when I told her. I thought people were telling me I wouldn't open my eyes, and I had pains everywhere from the top of my head down to my toes, and I wouldn't leave them move me in the bed. I was giving out, and they were trying to play my playlist on my phone for me. And I was like roaring and shouting, telling them, turn it off, my ears are hurting. And I thought, I was saying, what time is it? And they'd say, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, go back to sleep. And I'd say, no, you told me that 3 hours ago. And they would be telling the truth. They'd say, where's my purse? Yeah. Where's my phone? You know, the drugs that I was, and I'm not used to that because I won't even take a Panadol.
Why do you say that a lot of people suffer with PTSD?
Oh yeah, you get that from it afterwards. Yeah, you do, because I came so close to this. You do suffer from it. I did.
So such a major shock to the system, PTSD. Mm-hmm. Like as if you know, people might be in a car crash or live with the consequences of you know, life changing injuries, or they could be attacked, or they could be, you know, you get PTSD for a lot of different reasons. So this is like the assault on the body results in post traumatic stress.
Yeah, and I'm very good at kind of trying to sing songs like always look on the bright side of life. I'll always take care of other people in hospital when I'm sick myself. You know, when I start feeling okay, I always see the better side of life and the goodness of people. And I'm into animal rescue, and so I'm not going to dwell on it. But it did. Sometimes it dawns on me really badly, that I might never have came home.
100%.
I was so close. I was just saying to your researcher there, it was a story that I heard last year on your program that probably saved me. There was a lady, she went to the Bonds to have her lung drained, and she was really unwell. Her daughter, not sure if you can remember this, daughter persuaded her to go and have her, you know, to go to the Bonds. They couldn't drain her lung, and I was interested in the story because I'd had my lungs drained. excuse me. and then it went on to when she went to COH, they said that she was lucky that she actually went there because she had sepsis.
Well, I remember,
and they said
her daughter was on the air,
I remember that. Yeah, and this was 2 o'clock in the morning. That I remembered it, and I was I have all the signs of what that lady was talking about.
Lucky you called that ambulance. Lucky you made that call.
Well, I asked the paramedic, I said, what if I had managed to go to sleep? He said, you wouldn't have woke up.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah, and I really I remembered that back from your program last year. From that lady, ringing you up, as she was all healthy.
In your memory. I'm glad it stayed on your mind.
I'm glad it stayed in my memory. Yeah.
All right. Listen, mind yourself. Thanks for sharing your own.
Listen, my point in my phone call was, if anything comes out of it, people should be more aware of sepsis. You know, I mean, I know about the 80s.
Yeah, but we also need to be aware of the chaos that resulted in her death. Misadventure, what does that tell you? You know?
Well, I know, but you know, I'm no one special. I didn't get any special care in the hospitals, but they recognised it. And that is recognition about sepsis is just...
You were lucky.
It kills more people than cancer.
You were lucky they did. You're lucky they did because...
I'm very lucky, yeah.
Aoife Johnston,
very lucky.
Her death was systematic failures within the health system in the
I know
hospital.
That. I mean, there's no denying that. But I'm just saying for other people, they're saying no. If you see any of the signs, just speak up for yourself. All and... Right. you know, tell them, like, before you get too sick, when, to the point where you can't speak.
I understand. Words of wisdom from someone
and
who's
that
been
does
through
happen,
it.
Okay. You know?
All right. Thanks, Amy. Thank you so much. Have a good weekend. Thanks for sharing. Text 0868104106. Pick up the phone on 0818104106 after these.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Conversation that matters.
Keep those calls coming. Text 0868104106. I mean, it was awfully tragic, her death, but it could have been avoided, the death of Aoife Johnston. She didn't even make it to her leaving certificate. She was only 16 years old. She was only a child. It was will always be the family's baby girl. And horrific death, actually, could have been prevented. I was reading some of the medical reports on it in The Independent this morning. She died because she was waiting 15 hours, over 15 hours, for the antibiotics that would have saved her life if she'd got them on time. And there was a lot of screaming and roaring and panic and an awful lot of interaction going on at the time. But it was in what was described as a critically overcrowded emergency department. In fact, one of the consultants described the situation that they were working in, and probably still do work in the A&E there, as a death trap. Imagine a consultant saying that, a death trap. And that's why, you know, I get so frustrated and angry to be talking about the same kind of stories on air for the last 40 years. God knows we have been. Text 0868104106. Just a couple of other texts on different topics this morning. I thought that pensioners receive their television license free gratis and for nothing. Yes, but you have to be over 70, somebody says. Once you turn 70, that's the stage when you don't have to pay your license. Why wouldn't it be 66? According to Citizens Information, if you're 70 and over, you are entitled to a free TV license under the Household Benefits Package. So it is free for pensioners, as John suggests, but not for 66 to 70, from 70 onwards. Ryanair. I had Ryanair recently email me to say that the flight back to Dublin from Nice in July has been cancelled. I had to get onto them on their live chat to have my flight changed to the following day. Now, they did do it free of charge, but now I have to fork out at least another €150 to stay another night in Nice. You see, that's the knock-on. Morning, I used to work in Cork Airport, and you would be shocked at how many Ryanair planes are breaking down. Gone tech is the term they use when the plane breaks down. Gone tech. If you're delayed more than 4 hours, they have to pay a fine. But if you go over the 4 hour waiting in the airport, you should just go home, because it has cost them the fine at that stage to Ryanair. And you definitely are not a priority at that stage, as it won't cost them any more money delaying you even longer. They will then prioritize other flights who are under the 4 hour delay time to save on more fines. Keep those coming. Another one. I can't fault Aer Lingus, however. They recently gave us a voucher for the full amount as a courtesy, as my father-in-law was admitted to Marymount. Well, it's good that they did that, because a lot of the time they possibly won't. Some airlines wouldn't do it, and you would have to claim instead out of some kind of, perhaps travel insurance, and not everybody would have it. One correction. I know that The Young Offenders is returning for Series 4. The BBC will have it first. It won't be on RTE until next year, but I incorrectly apparently said that it's returning on the 10th of May, Friday the 10th of May. It's actually Monday the 10th of May on the BBC. On snoring, I bought snoring plasters for my husband. They are fabulous and went from 100% awful to between 0 and 10%. So I loaded up on different ones, as in you bought loads. And I think you're lucky that the snoring plasters worked for your husband, because other people have tried them. Unless you want to send me a screen grab of the ones that you bought, because a lot of people have tried and failed with them. One or two others. Our government is now asking the Catholic Church to supply accommodation for asylum seekers who continue to come in here in their droves. Alas, the government, as usual, is not looking for rooms to accommodate the Irish homeless, many of whom, meanwhile, are living in tents. And Bobby, heading off on his rougher to China, couple of texts, asked that man, would he give me a backer along the way, free trip to China? I don't know if you could handle the weight. Pieta do amazing work. The positive effects they have on my teenager has been transforming for her life. I will definitely support Pieta and his cycle to China. Somebody else wondering, is Bobby right up to speed with his bike maintenance? I think he is. I reminded him of one or two things that he needs, and he had forgotten that he's going to need a spare tire. He's going to pick that up in in Rosslare when he's down there. But bike maintenance, very, very important. If you want to donate, as Bobby cycles from Blarney to China to raise money for Pieta House, just go on to iDonate. You're looking for People's Republic of Rohr, R-O-T-H-A-R, People's Republic of Rohr. So keep them coming. Can I go from a bicycle back to a motorbike? I told you the story yesterday of Alphonse and his Transalp motorbike that was stolen from his house at 2 o'clock in the morning. This bike, because Alphonse is a member of the Blood Bike South charity, a team that supports Cork hospitals by transporting vital medical materials, including blood, between hospitals and indeed between counties as well, tirelessly. Somebody, two individuals, robbed his bike, probably ripped out the wiring from the ignition and hotwired it, possibly just destroyed the ignition with a screwdriver, who knows. But the bike, anyway, has been spotted on numerous occasions in the past 24 hours for sure. I spoke to Alphonse on air yesterday just before quitting time. It's one of those real cruel thefts, you know, to steal a motorbike that's actually used for Blood Bike South charity. I was telling you this morning, people who rob houses of individuals who have passed away, they're thinking that the dead person might have been the last person in the house and the house is empty and therefore it's a treasure trove of thievery for them. That's another particularly yellow belly type of crime. But just an update from Alphonse on this Friday morning. Alphonse, good morning.
Good morning, Neil.
So what can you tell us? We gave the description out of the bike yesterday. It's a red Honda Trans Am 96D. Any sightings?
Plenty of sightings, Neil, and fair play to the community up there. The bike has been spotted numerous times around the Apple building, Apple factory up there, Harbour Road, Kilmore Road, etc., etc. It's been spotted lots.
Okay, so when it was robbed, because you saw the CCTV footage of the two characters that robbed it, were they wearing masks or balaclavas or beanie hats or anything like that?
So at the time they weren't. They were wearing hoodies and dressed in dark clothing. But the reports that we've been getting is that there's one guy on my bike wearing a balaclava with no helmet.
These are the sightings from yesterday. He's got a balaclava on.
Correct, the sightings from yesterday. So the guy's going around with a balaclava. They took the number plate off the bike. And it's also being escorted around with another black bike with two guys riding that bike.
And it's definitely your bike, yeah?
I've gotten multiple guys now saying to me, and these guys are actually into bikes themselves, and they're all saying 99% sure this was your bike. So, as I said, the bike is fairly distinguishable with its black windscreen and the aftermarket mirrors. So I'd be fairly confident, you know.
Have you driven up or got yourself up to Harbourview Road, Kilmore Road, around Apple?
I have indeed. I've been staking out that place there now for quite a while. Most of the night last night, I went up there with some of my blood bike colleagues, in fairness. We went up there looking at the fields in behind Apple as well to see if we could spot it in there. We've been up there quite a lot and we'll be continue going up there.
Yeah. I hope this doesn't happen to yours, but there's a particular field up around there where they ultimately then burn the bikes.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to avoid that?
Definitely I want to avoid it. You know, at this stage, look, you know, the bike is well visible. It's obviously being reported. You know, if they put this bike somewhere and they send the location even anonymously, I'd be happy enough.
Yeah, know? I know. I don't know that they do that. I mean, it would be a lovely thing if they did. I would encourage them to do that. But the bike's probably very hot now because of all of the attention that it's getting. They probably have ditched it, I would think, at this stage, because, you know, the longer they ride it, the better chances they have of being caught. Don't know what would happen if the guards got them. We'd have to see what happens if that's the case. But it's a hot bike now, if you know what I mean.
I'll put it to this way, Neil. You know, these young guys, they made a mistake, right? They made the mistake of thinking that they can just grab a bike and take it. I have lots of contacts. This will definitely, you know, one way or the other, I will find that bike. You know what I mean?
Yeah, hopefully you'll find it.
Yeah.
You remind me of Liam Neeson there.
Yeah, maybe so.
I wouldn't blame you if you're angry or annoyed. I really wouldn't.
I, you know, I'll put it this way. I've been accused of being extremely stubborn and tenacious. So, you know, you take from that from what you will.
Okay, but the guards are aware of this. I know the guards are very, very busy, and I appreciate that motorbikes wouldn't be top of their list of must-do cases, but they're aware, are they?
Very much aware.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you heading up today?
I am indeed. I'll be up there again today. No problem.
Okay.
And, so we kind of know the time range that the bike is to be seen at as well. So
are they on or not during the day, or do they wait till it's dark?
Mostly during the day, by the looks of it.
Okay. Well, get yourself up there, man, and I'm sure your colleagues indeed. Will help you out as well. Do stay in touch, though. You remain optimistic, and that's a good thing. You'd never know.
Indeed.
You'd never
indeed.
Know.
Perfect.
All right, Alphonse, stay in touch. Text 0868104106 if you spotted it. It's a red, as I say, it's a red bike. It happens to be a red 96. The reg is gone now, but it's a Honda Trans Am. The plates have been ripped off it. It was 96D60393. It's a particularly beautiful bike. We've been sharing photographs of it on social. It's got a front visor as well, a beautiful black front visor. It's a gorgeous bike. You only bought it about 3 weeks ago, incidentally. So if you spot it, please get in touch. I don't know what to tell you. You know, you got a particular group of individuals who just love robbing bikes, doing whatever they want, and then they burn them out. They do the same with cars. That's why we have a spate of car thefts, particularly the Japanese imports. I don't know. I think we really need the broken window policy here. You know, even the smallest of crimes should have some kind of punishment. Suspended sentences. I was talking about this earlier in the week with the child that was being harassed and bullied by a grown adult. Just suspending a sentence without a fine, without community service, you know, without even something into the poor box or anything like that, it's just not good enough. There has to be some recompense in some way, shape or form for people who are the victims of criminals, don't you think? Text 0868104106. How am I doing? So earlier on we spoke to Bobby, who's heading off to China on his bicycle. I was telling you then about the Angea that left Hobart 7 years ago, a man that I met down in the marina who's travelling all the way around the world single-handedly on his yacht. And then we got a call from was it Dennis? Can't remember now. Who knew of a chap by the name? It wasn't Dennis. It was Dennis. Good guess, Jimmy the Lock. Anyway, he was telling us the story of Paddy, who apparently with himself and his brother decided to cycle back from Australia. It might have been the late 70s, early 80s. Anyway, we've got Paddy down in Berings, and he's happy to chat about that escapade and that adventure. Paddy, good morning.
Good morning, Neil. How are you?
I didn't think you got up this morning. You'd be talking about your bicycle trip back from Australia, but here we are. How are you?
Absolutely. Who was the gentleman that rang in, Neil?
A fella called Dennis. He grew up with you. He was a pally of yours out in Douglas.
Oh, yeah. No, it doesn't ring a bell, but I'll find out.
Okay, let me find out what his surname is in the meantime while I'm chatting to you. But tell us about this trip. What was the deal? Were you living in Oz with your brother or what?
No, we were working here in Cork, and we went out for years, work experience in Australia. I was mid-70s, I'd say. So we went to Perth in West Australia.
You had a choice between South Africa or Australia, I believe, was it?
No. We were going to Australia anyway.
Yeah.
We went to Perth, and we worked there for 1 year, on a work experience. We got a permit for 1 year.
And you decided then, how did that decision to come about to cycle home?
Well, the cycling home is slightly exaggerated, Neil. We didn't actually cycle all the way.
Right.
But what happened, we were always fond of cycling. We used to do a lot of cycling at home when we were here. So we bought a set of bikes anyway, and we decided we might as well either go east or west. So we were thinking about South Australia, maybe come back that way. We'd say we have a lot of cousins in New Zealand. In fact, we probably have more cousins in New Zealand than I have here.
Right.
So we said we'd head across Australia and we'd visit a cousin. So that's where it started.
Okay, so you cycled across how much of Australia?
Right across, from Perth across to Nullarbor, across to Adelaide, Melbourne, Sydney.
How long did that take you?
It took about a month or so.
Is that all? To cycle across Australia?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you have nothing to do but cycle, you know?
You must have been legging it, though.
We're doing all right. We're doing okay.
And
what, it wasn't too bad, you know, you just day to day.
Okay. Was it a fabulous trip though? Was it like spectacular?
Oh, fantastic, yeah. You meet some great people along the way.
Where'd you stay along the way then?
Well, we had a small tent sleeping at most of the time, but a lot of people would put you up. You know, you get to talk to people in these small stations and places.
And they give you a bed for a night and a bit of food.
Oh, yeah, no problem, especially being Irish, you know.
So how old, what's your brother's name, do you mind me asking?
Liam is a year or two older than me.
Okay,
yeah.
So how old were you at the time?
We were about 23, 24 maybe. I'd
okay.
Say.
So coast to coast Australia, did you then continue the cycle in New Zealand?
Yeah, we actually cycled more in New Zealand than we did in Australia.
Same bikes and everything? You never changed bikes or anything?
Oh no, same bikes, yeah. We had a lot of problems on R8 on the way with spokes and things like that.
Would you repair as you went along?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Tell me about it. Yeah.
So, okay, like brakes would go, punctures, I suppose, split tires, tubes?
Well, they'd be simple enough to repair, because the spokes were the big problem for us. Because when the spokes broke, you had to take out the centre axle, and we didn't have any tool for taking it out. So we used to have to take out all the tiny little ball bearings and all the rest of it. It was a nightmare.
I can imagine, because bikes back then, they'd be different to the bikes of the 21st century, like.
Well, they were a bit rougher, yeah. But we've done a very stupid thing. We took aluminium spokes, lighter spokes, because we thought on the air, when you're flying, that they'd be lighter, you know?
Yeah.
We wanted to bring the weight down, you know what I mean?
Okay.
But as it turned out, they were a disaster. They were too light.
You cycled across New Zealand then as well, visiting relatives and pals?
We were right around New Zealand. We worked there for a while as well. We worked on the hay and things like that, you know, saving hay and stuff.
And were you ever in danger, like?
Not really, no. No. No, yeah, I mean, you're cute. With two people, it's easier as well, you know.
Did you ever hurt yourself? Fall off, break a wrist, an arm, a leg, twist an ankle?
We had a few close calls, you know, slips and things like that. But we were generally quite good, you know. Yeah, we worked okay.
Little birdie told me the only time that Liam ever fell off a bike was down at the bus station at Parnell Place, was it?
That's the funny part. We were getting the ferry home to Cork. It was a Sunday morning. It was a damp morning, I always remember. And Liam said to me, he said, you know them tracks, he said, that go by the bus station, they go over for the railway station, I think. Do you remember there was tracks on the road?
I tell you often, my bike was constantly getting caught in those tracks.
He said, I hope them bloody tracks are gone. Sure enough, as soon as we hit the tracks, down he came.
If you were cycling a bike in the 70s across those bridges, those railway tracks were like a magnet to the wheels of a bike.
They were absolutely lethal, yeah.
So after you cycled all the way across Australia and then all the way across New Zealand, what did yourself and Liam do next?
We went on into the idea was to cycle home from India.
I'll tell you what, can you hold on, if you don't mind? I want to finish this conversation after 11. Put the kettle on. Do you mind?
No problem.
Okay, my friend. Thanks, Paddy. Back after 11, text 0868104106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM. Conversation that matters.
And be part of that conversation. The Neil Prendeville Show with Mercedes-Benz Cork. It's a free food Friday, courtesy of ourselves and Camille Tai. I'll do the second bunch of shout-outs in a few minutes' time. But I was chatting with Paddy, himself and his brother. Sorry, he was chatting with Paddy earlier, just before 11. I heard the story first from Dennis, who said you need to get in touch with Paddy Burke, because Paddy and his brother Liam cycled all the way across Australia, then they cycled all the way across New Zealand. And I just wanted to finish the conversation with him, because I think we're all mad keen to find out exactly where they went next. So, Paddy, what followed after New Zealand?
Hi, Neil. We got to Singapore.
How? So you obviously sailed there. Did you fly?
Oh, no. Oh, we flew. Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty rough. Yeah. Yeah, we got to Singapore, and that was problematic because we couldn't get out of it. They were very strict at the time on drugs and things like that. We had the long hair and we didn't look the part, you know.
Right, okay. Yeah, I suppose you were the long hair and the denim in the back end of the 70s, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Every day we have to break down the bikes into sections, you know, for loading. But you'd have to queue up then, and of course they'd turn you back every time. But eventually, anyway, Eventually, we got a chap in Indian Airways. He gave us a flight, but we had to wait about 10 days or something. So in the meantime, we got around Singapore and we flew up to, we cycled up to Malaysia, and our own Malaysia as well. Fantastic. While we were in Singapore, we sleep in the airport as well, which was brilliant, because we had armed security guard. We had an armed security guard every night. It was a great place to be.
So you just happened to cycle from Singapore to Malaysia, like what, Kuala Lumpur or something, is it?
I would say it's only a hop over from Singapore. It's only, land bridge. You meet some fascinating characters in the airport. There was one young lad there, he was an Indian. He was he used to read all the newspapers. He'd never left, I don't think he'd ever left Singapore. But he used to read all the newspapers, and he knew all about Cork Celtic and Man United. And he knew more about Cork than we did, I think.
Did he? When you say, did he live in the airport, or did he just never leave Singapore?
He was working in the airport. He was a baggage handler or something. But he used to pick up all the newspapers, and he'd talk to everybody. Yeah, he was an amazing guy.
Okay. All right, okay. So, where next?
Singapore, Malaysia. Let me think now. Yeah. We eventually got out of Singapore anyway. We got to Madras in India.
To what?
I think it's Madras in India.
Did you cycle there?
Oh no! We had to fly from there. No.
With the bikes. Okay. So, did you do any more cycling then to get home, or did you fly the rest of the way home?
No. We cycled from Madras. Well, it's Chennai now, is it? I think it's called Chennai.
Yeah.
We cycled up the coast up as far as Calcutta. That was fantastic.
How long did that take?
I can't remember now. I can't recall, Neil, to be honest.
Weeks, would it have taken weeks?
Oh, it would have been weeks, yeah. Oh, God, yeah, yeah. It's a good old hike. We used to stay with the police. We'd always call to the police stations because they all spoke English. And in some places, they'd send the servants out for tea and everything, you know.
Fantastic. You didn't have, you see the cyclists now with the real fancy helmets and the Lycra cycling gear. Did you? You had none of that, no?
No helmet, just soft hat.
What were you wearing? Were you jeans kind of thing, and a jacket or a jumper? What were you wearing?
We had cycling shorts and tops and things like that. But yeah, nothing too fancy, you know, nothing like you'd see nowadays. But yeah, I still have the bikes actually.
Still have them?
Yeah.
Are they cyclable?
Oh yeah. I done them up a few times. I sprayed them and things like that.
You're not a bit like Trigger. You're not like Trigger with the brush. I still have the bikes, but it has new handlebars, two new wheels, new brakes, new mudguards.
No. I kept it as authentic as possible. Yeah, same ball there. But cycling is more in the head now, Neil, I think.
So when you were in Douglas, you lived in Lake Lawn. Like, were you into motorbikes? You weren't part of the Douglas Cowboys or anything, no?
No, none of that gang, no. I was much more sophisticated.
You were much more well behaved.
It was a lovely area to be fair. It was a great area to be brought up.
And now you're gone from Douglas down to Barings, is it?
Barings, yeah. Up in the hill. Beautiful place.
Wow, man. What a great story, though. And how's Liam?
Liam went back to Australia. He was with the Air Force for a while and things like that. He's still there. He's in Brisbane at the moment.
So the rest of your trip then after that would have been from, you flew India to Brussels home or something like that, I guess.
Yeah, I had a sister in Brussels. She was working, but she had left Brussels when we got there, so we had to go to Oxford. She was in Oxford.
Great story, though. What a great thing to do when you're young, right?
Yeah. Well, what happened to me was I got sick. I got sick in India. As it turned out, I think it was hemochromatosis, but nobody knew about it at the time. I had no energy.
Did they look after you, though?
Oh, yeah. Parts of India were rough enough, you know what I mean? You've got to be careful where you are. But generally speaking, it was fantastic.
But, you have to be careful what you eat as well, because the old Western palate and the digestional system of an Irish fella could run amok with some Indian dishes locally, couldn't they?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
I can well imagine.
Yeah, we stayed in one place. It was a prison. I mean, the conditions were appalling. You know, scary, you know. But You get there, yeah.
Yeah, you did, man. You did. And are you aware of Bobby Murray, who's literally cycling? This morning he's starting in Blarney, and by the time he gets off the bike, he will be in northern China.
Yeah, I just heard there this morning. I wish him well. It's fantastic. I think it's brilliant. And it's a good cause as well. But, yeah, good luck to him.
What should he be looking out for, though? I mean, he's easily three times the age you were when you did the Australia, New Zealand, Western coast of India. He's a granddad. He's a granddad, like.
Was he? Well, good luck to him. Even better again. What to watch out for? I don't know. Just be careful with falls and things like that. You know what I mean? No, I know the bikes now are much better. The gear is better and the gearing and things, you know.
There's a lot more. But the only thing about that, Paddy, is it means there's a lot more that could go wrong, couldn't it?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
He's got a hybrid. It's a cross between a racer and a mountain bike. He hasn't been up on a bike in 2 years. Will he be sore?
Oh, he'd be sore for a while, yeah. But he'd get into it, you know.
He said that.
Yeah, I think if you take it day to day, that's how we used to do. You get good days, you get bad days. It's like everything, you know.
It's not a race, so if he wants to chill for a day or two here and there, I know
absolutely.
What you mean.
And I'd say if you meet nice people, stay with them for a bit, you know, give them time.
Don't be in any rush. Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah, I met a few people in Thailand there in January, and they're literally just doing that. One or two fellas on their own. They're just doing the whole world in their own time, no particular rush. They like somewhere, they'll stay for a while, get a part-time job, work in a bar, move on whenever they're ready.
Absolutely, and that's the way to do it. You know, especially if you're young, man.
Totally. Brilliant. Yeah. Okay, listen, great to catch up with you. Thanks for sharing the story. Pass on our best to your brother Liam in Australia, will you?
I will, of course, Liam. Thank you.
Take care. Mind yourself. Some great stories this morning. And thank you to Dennis, who was originally the man who put us in touch with the great Paddy Burke and his brother Liam. Text 0868 104 106. Big birthday shout out this morning for you. Hi guys, my aunt is a decades long listener to your radio program and she is 80 years old today. It would be great if you could squeeze in a mention, please, for the great Mary Mulcahy from number 21 Tower Street. Well, a great part of Cork. So happy birthday to you, Mary. From all of us, from Joe and Merlin and Kian and Jer, and from Tony and Rose and the family. Have a great day today. And thank you for listening for all those years. Incidentally, talking about birthdays, it's Goldberg's 10th birthday party tonight. They have the one and only Loungeman, one of the greatest performers on Leaside. And they're having a big party with the Loungeman from 6 o'clock, DJ till late, free food and drinks. Now, that's an interesting statement. Free food and drinks. Does that mean free food and drinks or free food and free drinks? I suppose you need to go along and find out. Happy birthday to Goldbergs as well.
Text or WhatsApp Neil now. 0868 104 106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Be part of the conversation. The Neil Prendeville Show with Mercedes-Benz Cork. And it's a free food Friday again today. Camille Tyre on board and providing some beautiful food to deliver to you in the workplace for up to 15 of you, courtesy of ourselves and Camille Tyre. And they open every day from midday to 10 p.m. serving good mood Thai food. Two branches, Bishopstown, and you can dine in at Camille Thai in Douglas. So we got crispy chili chicken. That's one of the main courses for lots of you. Chicken green curry, or a little bit of both, whatever you're having yourself. The Pad Med Manung, which is a minced chicken stir fry with loads of beautiful veg and cashews and onions and scallions and broccoli and chili and a little bit of garlic. There's a vegan dish there, the Pad Prick Kang, which is same as the above. It's got smoky seasoning and tofu and things like that. And loads of jasmine rice, loads of brown rice and some beautiful wild rice as well. So it'll feed up to 15 of you and the Red Patrollers will deliver it this lunchtime. So shout outs for everybody working for Rory Hannaway Plastering. They're out in Kildare and they're starving. Cotter Building and Maintenance are on board listening in Ringaskiddy. OMS Auto Parts are in Churchfield. We love to share the Free Food Friday with all of the business in the Exchange Park in Churchfield. Everybody's always listening down in Stryker, so good morning to Michelle. Doc Decor Painting and Decorators, they're down in Liscarroll today. For everybody at Coonvora, Fernand's Women's Residential Treatment for Alcohol and Drugs, these ladies deserve a break from the kitchen. St. Oliver's Ward and St. Finbar's Hospital, for all the hardworking staff, they deserve a treat and they deserve feeding. To Anne's Daycare, St. Anne's Daycare Nursery at Sherman Crawford Street, they're community-based. They provide care for babies and toddlers, preschool and after school, and they're a big team there and they love some feeding. So good morning to Mel. To everybody at Phil Considine Painting and Power Washing in Cloyne, no job too big nor small, and a great team. So good morning to Kevin and Rory and Pa and Danny. They're all listening at the Cork City National Ambulance Service, Crazy Monkey Skate and E-Scooter Repair Shop in Douglas, Joe's Edge Hair Salon in Blarney, everybody at the AMH Technical Services on a site in Ballincollig, Northside Tires on the All Mallow Road, the Civil Registration Office in Adelaide Street, loving the show. Good morning to Tara and all of the staff. Route 14 Bar and Restaurant, Hurleyhee Centre in Bishopstown. Hi Lynn. To the Bank of Scotland at the Airport Business Park, especially Sam. And just another few. The ED Department, the Children's ED at the COH. To everybody at Rycal Hygiene and Cleaning Supplies in Kanturk. The Pathology Department at the South Infirmary Victoria. Let's Party in Duhallow in Kanturk. And finally, I'm on the way for yet another radiotherapy appointment in the Bon Secours. Please put out that the staff at the Radiology Department are just wonderful. They should be in your Free Food Friday draw. They've been amazing to both my husband on his journey, and now me on mine from the get-go. Have a lovely weekend. Look after yourself, Rosaline. You're in good hands. Keep those shout-outs coming. You have one, maybe around 20 minutes now left to get the last bunch of Free Food Friday shout-outs on the air. So text who you are and where you are to 0868 104 106 and we'll do another bunch of shout-outs between now and midday. And we have live music again to play us out this morning just before midday. Tell you more about that in a few minutes' time. Bobby on his rougher. If he's coming anywhere near Alicante, tell him there's a bed and a shower and dinner, says Paddy, who's listening in Alicante. Before we're finished with Bobby, we'll have people all the way along the route, all the way to China, looking out for him. A young lad called David Condon from Ballyduff, County Waterford, cycled from Ballyduff Upper to India a few years ago. He has since settled in Australia himself. Someone I know can beat that. He cycled from New Zealand to Drimaleague. Now, whoever sent us that text is contacting the person who did that cycle from New Zealand to Drimaleague. And we'll hopefully chat again on this topic on Monday. Tell the guy biking to China to make sure to pack some potatoes. Boom, boom, says Philip. You'll get a craving for them somewhere along the route. Okay, before he knows it, he won't be able to carry everything that people are recommending. Anyway, it's just about, you know, getting out. And I know I spoke about this a lot, getting outside your comfort zone, in spite of somebody texting me saying, why? I like my comfort zone. It's nice and warm and comfy in here. But doing things, you know, that you wouldn't normally do. In the case of Bobby, he's a granddad now and raising money for Pieta House. It will take him maybe two and a half years to cycle to China. But it's about getting outside your comfort zone, doing things, taking a risk, deciding to do something in spite of the fact that it might frighten you. I mentioned that actually. Has anybody eaten in Goldie? I've been there twice, and on both occasions it is absolutely incredible. But could you imagine somebody who trained and worked and learned her trade and her craft as a chef and then decided to open her own restaurant at the age of 24. Now that's young. It's a big challenge. And imagine a very worrying undertaking. Chef Aisling, good morning. Aisling Moore, how are you?
Good morning. I'm really good. I don't know how you managed to eat here twice without me noticing you.
I've lost a bit of weight. I was upstairs. I don't know. It was mega anyway. That's all I know. I had Ray Wings.
Fantastic.
Oh, they were delicious. Wouldn't normally, but because of what you're doing with fish, you want to leave nothing to waste. I loved every single morsel of it. But listen, at such a young age, I mean, it's a big undertaking.
It was huge. Yeah, huge. It was a big opportunity. I mean, obviously, I didn't do it alone. I have amazing business partners who had all the necessary experience and guidance and support to be able to share with me. So I would not have done it on my own.
Yeah. Where'd you learn your stuff? I think you were in the equally fantastic Elbow Lane for a while, were you?
I was in Elbow before we opened Goldie, yeah. And I worked in Fenn's Quay with Kate Lawler for 3 years.
Oh, so what can I tell you? You were with the best. You were with the best. You were with the best.
Yeah, it was a great place to learn.
But I mention, of course, opening your own restaurant in your own place. You're flying. It's even difficult to get a booking. But were you at all a bit kind of worried because it's restaurants closing we're hearing about, not opening, like?
Yeah, I guess, you know, Goldie opened September 2019, so we were 6 months before the pandemic. But, you know, I think opening in those in that kind of an environment has just kind of made us stronger as a business and more resilient.
As in, if you can get through, if you can get through lockdown, you can get through anything, is it?
I think so, yeah. In your first year of business, I think if you can kind of manage those struggles and challenges. Don't get me wrong, it's challenging every other day, but that's business, and that's anyone in business, not just in restaurants. But yeah, we're delighted. We're really grateful to be in the position that we're in now. And you know, luckily we have people who want to eat with us and work with us. So you know, I'm not going to complain.
I got to ask you though, because you it's fish. Fish is your thing. Every single part of it, up to and including the fish bones, right?
Yes.
Nothing wasted. No.
Well, with any product you buy in, you're always going to have waste, you know. So we try to create dishes that are number one delicious, but also, you know, are using the most of the fish. So, you know, if you make fish stock and put the fish bones in the bin afterwards, that's still waste, you know, just because you used it for a purpose. It's still going in the bin. So we're trying to figure out ways to combat things going in the bin.
Are they? It's always edible though, is it? Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yes.
What can you do with a fish tail or the bones of a fish? You can turn them into something crunchy and tasty and delicious.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. We do that with mackerel bones or sardine bones. You fry them until they're crispy and crunchy. And yeah, they're so good for you and delicious.
So that's where the passion of gill to fin came from, yeah?
Yeah, and it's practical as well. You know, we buy all our fish in whole here, which is a lot of labor for all the chefs in the kitchen. So when you're spending that much time on a product or an animal, you want to make sure that you're using as much of it as possible.
And where are you getting your fish from, chef?
Predominantly Ballycotton.
Do you drive down, or does someone go down for it, or what?
No, we get it delivered to the restaurant, thank God.
And you stand over it and examine every single piece.
Yeah, well, you know what? Luckily, you know, the quality is just incredible. And we have such great fish in Ireland that, you know, it's something we should be really proud of.
When the boats can get out there, sometimes when they don't, what do you do then?
Yeah, so we've kind of found ways to extend the shelf life on certain species by, you know, salting, pickling, preserving, but that obviously doesn't constitute enough food to feed a full restaurant every night.
Yeah, I know.
So you know, we rely on regenerative aquaculture like mussels and oysters, which can be accessed when the weather is really poor, and kind of build our menu around that with great vegetables and fruit from local growers around Cork.
If you were to scale up, Would that make sense, or would that spoil it, do you think?
I think it would spoil it. We're definitely a quality over quantity business, but with how much work goes into the food, it would be really difficult for us to do that.
Like if I picked up the phone now, would I get in tonight, tomorrow night, Sunday night?
We're closed on Sundays, Mondays and Tuesdays. Tonight, We actually have one or two tables free, and tomorrow night the same, one or two tables. It's usually the early tables that that are last to sell.
I remember trying to make a booking there. I don't know, it was 5-6 months ago last time I ate there, and I think it was like 5 days, 6 days, 7 days to wait. It was well worth the wait, but such is the popularity. I mean, it's an incredible success. You're traveling.
Yeah.
Do you spend time in the States as well then?
I was in the States in February. I did a takeover of the Dead Rabbit in New York City with Mark Moriarty, which was amazing. They wanted to kind of showcase how great Irish food is. And that bar is an amazing representation of what Ireland is today in America, which is really, really cool to see. And if anyone's in New York, they should really go check it out. So we cooked there and we created a menu, and they paired it with the Dead Rabbit cocktails, which is known as one of the best bars in the world.
One thing that's very hard to get, certainly in New York anyway, is good fish and chips. Would you agree with me? They just don't seem to get it.
100%. I didn't see any. I was down in Dungarvan this weekend, and we got great fish and chips down there. So
where were you? Where in Dungarvan was it?
We took over Eunice Power's chipper and chips, and we went there for fish and chips afterwards that evening for our dinner. It was amazing.
There's a girl down in St Finian's Bay, down Ballon Skellig's way. She's got a thing called the hake hatch. She's an incredible operator there. She'll be open across the summer. She pan fries and seasons the hake on the pan. It's absolutely out of this world. It's fresh caught that day, and she's absolutely rocking. She has only opened. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you're ever down around there. Check it out. It's just amazing. You're doing a thing in the book, because I have the book here in front of me. There's a page that I keep going back to, and it is the pan fried. No, I can do the pan fried hake fillet myself. The buttermilk fried hake tails. That must be delish.
Yeah. Yeah, that is like one of our, I put all our hits really in the book, the things that like really, that people really loved, are like, you know, that sold really well here for us, and that got a good reaction. So I wanted to put those dishes in the book and make sure that, you know, it's possible to do it at home and it's accessible.
So you have literally given all your secrets away.
Yeah, well, they're not secrets. It's all part of the mission to get people, I suppose, eating more fish and, you know, making fish cool and sexy, because you know what, it hasn't been in the last couple of years in this country. So yeah,
another great place actually that was last week, they do fabulous fish and stuff like that, is down around, not too far from that area, Driftwood. Do you know of it at all? It's down around Ballon Skellig as well. It's got the most fantastic views out over the Blaskets. It's a husband and wife combination, and they're rocking it down there in the summer. So people are, you know, they're going out on their own, a bit like you, you know, and they're just getting on with it and trying to make it work and keeping it local and trying to be organic and do it fresh, sustainable.
Absolutely, it's all about local. I think, you know, I think that's going to be the most important thing everyone can do this year, is just keeping it local when it comes to food, when it comes to business, where you can spend your money. Keep it as local as possible.
Well done on the book. It's called Whole Catch. Aisling Moore, Chef Aisling Moore's new book is called Whole Catch. It's out and everything. It's in the shelves and things like that.
Yes, it was out yesterday. I have lots of them in the restaurant, and they're in all the bookstores, Waterstones, Dubray, Vibes and Scribes. We're actually doing a little launch in Vibes and Scribes on the 7th of May, and tickets are available on Vibes and Scribes' website.
Congratulations on all the recent accolades. Young Chef of the Year, Sunday Times Best 100 Restaurants, 100 Women Changing Food in Ireland. Take a bow, kid. You're working hard. You deserve every single accolade. And to those people who haven't tried Goldie, get in there. It's absolutely incredible. Aisling, have a good one. Enjoy the weekend, Chef. Thanks for taking the call.
Thanks so much, Neil.
Text or WhatsApp Neil now. 0868 104 106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Playing us out this morning, James Keegan, with thanks to Own Hennessy Music and Live Music Promotions. James Keegan's got some gigs coming up and he's going to play us out. He's been in some time ago. It'll be good to have him back. YouTubing things. I never read the instructions. The print is always too small. I always use YouTube to explain to me, because you got the video and everything, of exactly what I need to be doing, says Darren. I followed YouTube to do a bra measurement during my pregnancy, says Denise Buckley. How did that work out for you? Keep them coming. Talking about YouTube, let me talk to Marguerite. I'll get back to texts and emails in a minute. Was it a puncture, Marguerite?
Yes, Neil. How are you?
Good, good. What happened?
We were going from Newmarket up to Leitrim to visit the in-laws for the day, and I had 4 new tyres in my car. I thought it was great. And heading up to Ballymahon in Longford, we got a puncture. So I had looked at YouTube when we bought the car first. It's a Peugeot 5008.
Right.
The 231 model. And
nice car.
You have to do... the car was full. We've 6 in our family. And you have to get a tool from the boot and wind down your spare bike wheel on a cable from under the car.
It's that little thin orange one, isn't it?
Yeah, and so once you get the wheel down, you can't do anything because the jack is contained within that bike wheel in a box. So the cable snagged on us. So we're watching YouTube, we're seeing how to wind it down, but the cable wasn't coming down from under the car, and you can do nothing. You need to have it jacked up, really, so you can get in to get the wheel. And a very nice gentleman pulled in and jacked the car up with his own jack to get it for us.
So your brand new car didn't, it may have come with the temporary temporary kind of wheel that gets you from A to B, but it didn't come with the jack.
It does, but the jack is in
inside, yeah, okay.
Yeah,
okay,
so until you get the whole cable and the bike wheel down, and then you get your jack box out. the cable snagged in us.
Did any of you think at the time that the best thing you need to do first is get all six people out of the car, jack the car up first? You couldn't, because you couldn't get the jack.
Yeah, the jack is in the cable.
Yeah, I know, I follow. So how did this carry... Yeah. So the video wouldn't help in that regard. So how did this young fella sort it?
So he jacked the car up enough for my husband to be able to slide in under to pull the snagged cable. And then between the two of them, they eventually got the spare wheel out. And then we had our own jack. So they changed the wheel. That was fine. We went and got the puncture fixed in Mohill when we got there. But then you have to do it all in reverse. You have to put your box, your jack, your bike wheel, the whole lot back up onto the cable when you have your chair fixed, and try and wind the whole lot back up under your car again.
So believe me, it's worth it to have a spare wheel in the boot or under or whatever. It's
absolutely
just worth it, because they just don't come with spares.
No, the last model we had just that patch kit. So we swore the next Peugeot we bought had to have the spare wheel.
Right.
Or we weren't taking it.
But you needed a young fella to slide in under the car, a small fella to do it.
You do, and a YouTube video too.
All right, okay. Let me stay with YouTube videos. Thanks, Marguerite. Eleanor, good morning.
Good morning, Neil.
Okay, what did you do? Yeah. What did you use?
Well, I had the grandkids staying for the weekend, and they had the vomiting bug. So I had all the sheets and the washing machine and everything, and all the duvet covers and everything. And when I went to put them in the dryer wasn't working. I had noticed in a few days that the water filter wasn't taking any water. So I YouTubed it, and they told me to take out the big box. You know, it's like a kind of thing with a grid in it. And
filter.
Clean all that. Yeah,
put it's called it a filter.
Yeah, it's a big kind of a boxy thing.
Yeah.
And then they said for the water container to make sure it's pressed right back in, because there's a cavity that takes the water. that was out of line with the tube coming down. So I pushed that right back in, and away we went. We walked.
All from the YouTube video.
All from the YouTube video. Because I had a friend of mine was saying, like, I do YouTube for this now. It's my first time trying it.
You can find anything in a YouTube video. I'm not suggesting you perform open heart surgery by following a YouTube video, but lots of other things are very doable. Without a doubt, they are. I wouldn't go near electrics with it, though. You know what I mean? Electrics would be serious.
No. In fact, even with this, they said make sure this was turned off before you touch it, you know?
Totally. Yeah, totally.
And like the men is there showing you, like the video is there, and it's very clear, you know?
Yeah, I agree. YouTube can be fantastic. So off you went. You got on with the washing. They got over the vomiting bug, did they? Or were they bad all the weekend?
They're living in Portland, so we're going back. So I was left holding the mess.
Listen, a great sense of achievement getting the YouTube video to fix the washing machine. Keep them coming. Text 0868 104 106. Thank you for that. Actually, very interesting text coming in on different topics as well this morning. One of them has to do with somebody who's very annoyed about... I'll come back to that in a few minutes' time, if you don't mind. But the price of things and the amount of money they're spending on different things as they go out and they try and have... a night out for a bit of food. But there's a second one, actually, which I'll get to first, because I've had this for quite some time. It says, I'm writing to express my utter disgust at the blatant profiteering taking place in certain pubs in our nation's capital. Now, this comes actually with a copy of a bar bill. Pint of Guinness, I hope you're sitting down. Pint of Guinness, €12.50. Pint of Carlsberg, €15. Vodka, just a shot of vodka, €10.95, and a split, which would be the mixer to go with the vodka, €9.50. So the vodka and mixer were €20. So for the 2 pints and the vodka and mixer, €48.35. Imagine my disgust when, from paying an exorbitant €9 a pint for Guinness, I was then charged €10.50 as the night wore on, and a whopping €12.50 towards close of business. I wasn't even in Temple Bar. I was in a Dublin suburb, which is fairly close to the city centre, but a suburb nonetheless. The world has gone completely mad. This is racketeering in the most sly and subtle form and should be outlawed under pain of losing your liquor licence. All licence holders should display the price of their liquid offerings. How can they then change radically upwards as the night gets closer and closer to closing time? Don't even start me on €15 from my friend who was charged for a pint of Heineken. It's utter madness. And here is the bill. €15. It wasn't Heineken. It was Carlsberg. €15 for a pint of Carlsberg. Like, that's pretty much... I mean, I know you wouldn't get a pint of Carlsberg with €5, but you wouldn't be far off it in other places. I bet the publican in question cares not a hoot for the recent 6-cent increase in the supply of a pint. Or maybe he or she is laughing all the way to the bank, snout deep in the greasy till. What is becoming of this great country of ours? Corruption and greed knows no bounds, and the government are literally waltzing us in to the mincer. The root of my anger is that as I strayed upon the liquid night, I was tapping my bank card for drinks and I only noticed the sly rip-off the following morning because I was tapping all the way along. Don't even get me started with the huge sums being paid to landlords to accommodate visitors and their pets in this country, while the disadvantaged Irish go cold, hungry, without a roof over their heads. No wonder they had a mass exodus back in the 80s. I just hope our own city of Cork maintains some respect for our disposable income. Dublin, to see, never again, boy. So there's the receipt. Please keep my name off the air. I don't fancy a reprisal from some righteous Jackeen. Nobody could defend that, a pub in the suburbs of Dublin. As the night goes on, the price of the liquor gets dearer and dearer. So I suppose within the last hour of closing time then, you're right up to €12.50 for a pint of Guinness, €15 for a pint of Carlsberg, €10.95 for a vodka, and €9.90 for the mixer. €48.35. I have to tell you, I would find that very, very hard to beat. Text 0868104106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Conversation that matters.
Anything I don't get to today, we'll pick up on Monday. But I want to get James Keegan on the air. He's playing a gig tonight in the Cotton Ball, and that's a big gig, an even bigger one then in Cypress Avenue at the weekend. We're going to do a couple of songs if I can get the time in. So welcome back, James. Good to see you, my man.
Lovely.
You're going
to
do one of your own. I think it's called River Song. Is that right?
That's the one.
Let's hear it, brother. Let's do it.
Happy days. Hold out in the rough, too much. Down from up above, clouds they drift a lot out into the open. And just to let it be known what it means to you and means to me to let the river breathe. What's going through and where it's been without either and seen what it is that river is me.
Vocals are great, but the guitar work's awesome.
Thanks very much.
Oh, unbelievable.
Appreciate
you've been
that.
Busy? You've been busy since you were here last?
Yeah, I've been busy out.
You're full-time?
Most of the time, yeah. So I work in the CUH as well.
Yeah.
So if it's handy, like.
Yeah. Big shout-out to all your pals who are listening at the CUH.
Shock it down.
But the music is thriving, because I know there's a big fundraiser in the Cotton Ball tonight, I think.
There is, yeah. Looking forward
and it,
to
and
it.
And it's kind of healthcare related, isn't it?
Yeah, it's for the Irish Ambulance Services. So it's George Blackshields is running a great fundraiser for that. And we done it last year too, so it's great to be back in Dublin.
And the Cypress Avenue gig, that's a big one.
It's huge. It's probably my biggest gig of my life, I'd say. no pressure, but looking forward to it. Myself and the lads are going to be rocking the house. We were playing the Poor Relation Wednesday night, so...
So you're not doing a solo gig. It's a bigger sound than that, is it?
Oh, yeah. This is just kind of my solo acoustic stuff. I get a bit heavier than this, I'm all right.
You're going to do a bit of rocking tomorrow night in the Cypress Avenue gig, is it?
Sunday night,
okay. Yeah. Tickets available for that?
Yeah, on Cypress Avenue's website.
Cypress Avenue is flying, actually, isn't it?
It's doing great. Gigs.
Before we know it, you'll be doing the warm-up for the Marquee, and then you'll be featuring the Marquee yourself.
Jesus, that's the dream, isn't it?
Keep on doing what you're doing. Have you got a Creedence number in a second?
I do.
Okay, just chill for a while, then we'll go out in a bit of Creedence Clearwater Revival. And we'll get back to you then. Keep those texts coming with regards to the things that you have YouTubed, right? We have tickets for Live at the Marquee right across the summer for the best calls on air. So text in if you're using YouTube to fix things, repair things or build things. The better the stories, the more chance you have of winning. Text 0868104106. Our last bunch of shout outs for Free Food Friday to everybody at Easy Living Interiors in Little Island. They have three new starter uppers and they'd love to welcome them properly to the team. Morning to Tracy, to Kilsaren Concrete Depot, the Complete Upholstery Centre on Barrack Street, ECI JCB in Carrick Tool, Unified Packaging in the IDA in Carrick Tool, Smurfit Kappa in Paladuff for listening, Engtech and Engineering Supplies in Mallow, listening every single day. Little Hands Creche in Farn Ferris, especially good to the children there and they need a nice treat. That would be the likes of Tracy, Marcella, Michelle and Emma. The plumbing counter at Irish International Trading. To all the gang at Allianz, or should I say the Alliance Medical Diagnostic Imaging in Ballincollig. Sports Direct on the Tremore Road. Cork Flower Studio on Douglas Street. MySpec in Watergrass Hill. And a final one for Velvet Hair Design on Tory Top Road. Morning to Sharon and all of the staff. So that's the shout outs done. We will pick a winner for Free Food Friday in a few minutes time, courtesy of ourselves and Camille Tai. 15 of you will be fed this lunchtime. But before he gets back on his rudder and heads off to his gigs for the weekend, James Keegan in studio. What Creedence number have you got?
Have you ever seen the rain?
No, and I'm fed up and looking at the stuff. Sunshine I want.
I know.
Do the Beatles, Here Comes the Sun or something. Anyway, here comes the rain. Let's see what you got.
Here comes the rain, huh?
You're gonna pox us now totally. You've us cursed.
With a Creedence fee.
Someone told me long ago, there's a calm before the storm. I know it's been coming for some time. When it's over, so they say, it'll rain a sunny day. I know, shining down like water. And I wanna know, have you ever seen the rain? Yeah, I wanna know, have you ever seen the rain? Coming down on a sunny day. Yeah, yesterday and days before. Sun is cold, the rain is hard, I know. Been that way for all my time.
It's
to forever on it goes. Through the circle fast and slow, I know. It can't stop, I wonder. Have you ever seen the rain? And I wanna know, have you ever seen the rain? Coming down on a sunny day.
Bed.
And I wanna know, have you ever seen the rain coming down on a sunny day?
Yeah, we're definitely cursed now, Jamesy boy. It'll rain for the weekend.
Oh, Jesus, hopefully not.
It'll be all your fault.
Don't blame me.
Don't blame me, I'm just the piano player. All right, tonight in the Cotton Ball in Mayfield for Cotton Ball Rocks in aid of the Critical Emergency Medical Response, and Sunday night, Cypress Avenue. Tickets are still available. You'll be rocking. Who'll be playing with you? Do you have a band as well?
Yeah, I do. So I have a great buddy, Kevin Quigley, who's also a singer-songwriter. He's supporting me, and he's on bass too. And I have a 5-piece band, so I have a 6-piece including me. So I have an accordion player, a piano accordion player. I have a backing vocalist, Caldwell. He's great. Kyle Calvin's on accordion. I have a lead guitar player, Donny Brogan. Kevin Quigley's on bass, and John Hodder's on the drums.
You're ticking all the boxes there, pal. You got the drummer and everything in there.
Chalk it down. Has to be done.
Have a great weekend. It's good to see you. Thanks to James Keegan. And again, as always, thank you so much to Owen Hennessy and Live Music Promotions. It's amazing how fast the time goes. My apologies for that. Covered a lot of ground this morning. We'll pick it up on Monday morning. And in spite of what James Keegan is saying, we will we'll get some bright sunny spells across the weekend. It's all very well for Creedence to be writing songs about rain over on the west coast of America. And they're never getting any. Rest of us have to live with a big load of it all too often. But anyway, last bit of business. Free Food Friday. Camille Tai will deliver food to 15 or so this lunchtime. And it's an opportunity for people to get fed, and our way of rewarding you for, of course, regularly listening. So where am I going, Claire? I'm off to Mallow, I think. Down to Ingetech Engineering Supplies. I guess supplying all things for the engineering businesses. And down there should be Jer amongst the gang. Jer, good morning.
Good morning, you.
How's it going? How many of you are there at Ingetech Engineering? There's a lot. I'm told you have a lot of others around you as well. There's other businesses you want to share in case there's some spare food. Ah, you'll feed them all.
We'll have plenty of spare food.
All right. Well, the Red Patrollers are going to head your way to Mallow. We'll keep it nice and hot for you. Get it to you around about 1:30. How many in the business?
There's about 5 or 6 of us here, and then there'll be 2 neighbours.
Fair play. You got Blackwater Engineering there and the HSC. There's a good load to be fed. Thank you so much for listening. Food's on the way. Give us a big weekend shout out, will you? Have a good one, sir. Take care, pal. Again, thanks to everybody at Camille Tai for sorting us out, as they have done. We do appreciate it. Lines will stay open. You can text 0868 104 106. Pick up the phone on 0818 104 106. If you have a story to share, email me over the weekend, neil@redfm.ie. Enjoy the weekend. I'll see you Monday.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Conversation that matters.